This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes. And, what, John, we have a pretty big show today. We're busy, very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy. We it are. Isn't just going well, to be you and I in. Ever again.
That's what you tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I tell you. Yeah. I brought you on board and realized I need more people.
Yeah.
So, big show. We got a lot to talk about just ourselves. But we're gonna kind of speed through that because our buddy Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana is coming on, and we're gonna be talking about Bass Hunters and
and
Multiverse of Madness. He just had that one come out this week. Episode 2, and really looking forward to it. I haven't recorded that yet, but I know it's going in there, so at some point in the show, I'll be saying, let's go to that. So we're going to have that coming up later on in the show. Also, awesome. Later in the show, I haven't figured out when we work this in, but we got a new guest, a new announcement, so we'll tease that for right now.
I don't know how that works either. You haven't told me, so
I know.
We'll figure all that out.
Yeah, we don't know, but we'll figure out where we drop that one in. So because we know we have a bunch of other stuff to get to this week, you said you did have a tweak that you worked on this week. You have a couple. Do you want to save the one of them?
Two little later? Tweaks.
Oh, little tweaks. Okay.
Two little tweaks, really.
Go ahead.
Okay. First one was just a switch of controllers. You know, I bought a Harmony Hub for my system, which works exclusively through the app on your phone. So I was using a Harmony 1, an older remote I've had for, I don't know, 10 years or so. And it served its purpose. It worked fine, but I really wanted something that had, that wasn't line of sight, you know, basically it had to all be line of sight, which was the drawback with the Harmony, because the way I sit and watch TV, some of my components are lower and even the coffee table kind of interfered with things working correctly. So I went on and bought a used Harmony Hub off of eBay. As you know, it's the only way you can really get them these days.
Yeah.
And, got all that set up. Seems to be working like a champ so far. So it's doing exactly everything I want it to be doing. The only little drawback of it is I still don't like the controls for the Apple TV as much as I do just the, the iOS
Apple
control. Yeah.
Right.
So basically I use the Harmony app to turn everything on and get everything set up. And then I just switch over to the iOS Apple TV app, to do all my stuff.
Yeah.
And then I switch back over and turn everything off with the Harmony. So, like I said, it's working perfectly. A little tweak, but I didn't want to drop the $400 on the Elite. I figured I could just do everything with the Hub, because I have, when all is said and done, still a pretty basic setup. I'm not controlling any lights, or I have three devices that need to be turned on and off, and then I need to switch over to my Blu-ray player when I want to watch that. So, it's pretty simple. But it's something new this week, so.
Cool. Yeah, I use the Apple remote. If I'm searching or if I'm doing anything with the Apple TV, I definitely use the remote more than I use my Harmony Elite, because it's just easier to scroll through everything.
Right, because with the Harmony, it shows the little arrows, but you have to push them up and down. You have to arrow up and down, as opposed to just the scrolling with the Apple TV remote. So I am used to that, so I like that a little better. But like I said, everything else is working great. So
hey, you want to lean in and lean back on your there you go. You're good.
Yeah,
you were I noticed that I was a little. Now you're beautiful. Now we could see all of your beauty. I'm not
golden,
blurred.
Yeah. I noticed that when you said
it's not Sybil Shepherd blurred.
Yeah.
Remember that from Moonlighting? It's like you could, even as a kid, I knew what they were doing. I'm like, oh my God.
You'd see like, stop Bruce drinking Willis. Before the show, DJ, and I won't be so blurry.
Yeah, but how come my side, I look clear? I'm like, what, that one eye is good?
Yeah, you always look good to yourself, man.
That's right. Oh, hey, yeah. So, yeah, I had, I got a big tweak. Big tweak.
You we're have a big tweak, yeah.
Big, big tweak. We're not going to really get into it today, but I'll set the announcement as a tease. I have completely revamped my sound system and my theater. I got rid of my Denon AV receiver, and I went with the Marantz 7706 AV processor. Added back in my Emotiva 5-channel XPA 5 Gen 2 that I had from years ago. Just been sitting there, so... saved it for a rainy day, and it rained.
There you go.
And there we go. I put that in, and then I bought a Bass X6, A6. So I have 200 watts per channel for the main 5, 90 watts per channel for my 4 overheads and my 2 rears. And awesome. Just went in yesterday, and we'll talk a little more about it. I've demoed a few things. A lot of fun. But
I know you added some to your real experiences, so.
Yeah, I added, yeah, the big one. The one you always got to do. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah.
But I'll have more of a breakdown of everything that I went through and just the fun that was had. We'll talk more about it next week when we have a little more time. But but yeah, so that was it. That was it. No biggie. My basement is still a mess because, you know, when you do something like this, you stop pulling stuff. It's like the whole basement looks like a bomb went off, a home theater bomb. Just poof, wires everywhere.
Wires and cables everywhere. Yeah.
I was putting in new shelving, but like I said, we'll talk about that next week. But cool. Let's get to a little business here.
Sure.
We got to do subscriptions.
Yeah.
Not subscriptions. I'm sorry. Look, pay some bills, John, as they say.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to support the podcast, how can they do it, John? What's your favorite way?
My favorite way would be patreon.com, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And and you know what?
And not by a small margin either. I think it's far and away my favorite way.
Yeah. And this week, let's see. We'll go on. Well, did we talk? Yeah, we talked about Reggie last week, right?
Yes.
My man, Reggie, last week. So this week, and I knew Johnny Z, Johnny Speakers, been supporting the podcast since almost day one. Almost day
awesome.
One. He was one of, I think he was the second one to jump on. So thank you. He's a featured Patreon supporter this week. And we also have, I forgot to send these to you so you would have them there yourself. New this week, Dan Carpenter jumped on this week supporting the podcast. Thank you very much. And you know what's going on. I forgot to get the information from Jen on who we'll announce it next week, but who we're doing a donation for. Let's just say, I'll give you a quick version of where this money is going. She went to the guys, she went to the wake for the person that this, it's going to be for an addictions counseling type place.
Okay.
And I don't have the name of it and everything right now, but we'll talk about it next week. But anyways, the gentleman that runs it used to work with Jen. Now he runs an addictions counseling place. And he just lost his son. 30-year-old son to addiction. So
terrible.
So it's going to go to a good place. Our first of many donations from the home theater crew here. So that's it. That's it for this week. But look at that. We're picking them up as we go. Picking up more and more. So thank you to everybody that
we can ask for
supporting us. We really appreciate it. And, we're living in, This is, I mean, this is the fun box of life right here. This is the excessive right. fun box of life. So to give some back, that'll be great. But other ways to support the podcast, you can subscribe. And someday, John, someday, if we get the subscriptions, if we get to 1,000 subscriptions, we're at like 600 and something right now. That might be your favorite one.
It might be.
If I start making videos and I start making
multiple, then you just have to put out videos every day.
Every day. And hey, I can talk, right?
Yeah.
So there's that way. So if you're not already subscribing on YouTube, really appreciate it because that'll get us closer to 1,000. And like we said before, make up an account. I don't care. They don't care.
Yeah.
Just click. And even
just
if
subscribe.
You, yeah. Click it, like it, go to one and click don't like it. That's what cracks me up. Everybody that clicks like, God, right. thumbs down. I have this one thumbs down on almost every video. So, you know, it's just one
right.
jerk.
One guy.
But you know what's funny is
so he went to every video and thumbs down to you.
it's engagement and that's all that counts and they love exactly. that. So it actually ups your notoriety because it's like, hey, if everybody
just funny that he yeah. just liked you so much yep. that he went through every video.
Almost like, every. There's a few he skipped.
I have nothing better to do with my time than just to go through and
right.
dislike these videos.
Well, that's the thing is when you see like especially like the RRR video that'll have like 200 right. something likes. One dislike.
Right.
Really? Really? Come on. I think that might actually have a couple more, but it is a wildly more popular video compared to the others. So.
Yes.
It isn't us, that's for sure. Also, on Twitter, you can support us, obviously, at BrightsideHT. Just join in on the conversation. Lots of great stuff going on over there. If you'd like to be on the show or just leave a comment. You can email us at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And all of this and past podcasts, everything on the web at brightsidehometheater.com. And hopefully more ways to donate will be popping up there soon. So that awesome. Will do it. So, yeah. Let's see. Where do we go? Yeah, there we go. And we're back on the screen. All right. That'll take care of that for that business. Whew. Phew. Gotta pay the bills.
Glad you got that off your chest.
Yeah. It's like, usually it's weeks before I do another one. So look at you. You got me going, John. All right. What do we got next? You want to get to coming soon?
Yeah.
All right. What do we got coming up this week? Oh, we only have a couple of movies this week. Let's see. We have this first one. Dario Argento?
Argento, yeah.
Yeah, in Tenebrae? I don't know.
He's a director.
Huh?
Dario Argento is an Italian director.
Okay. Oh, so you're from... Oh, yeah, that's right. You're moving to Italy. You're familiar with
all
this. I am.
You know, I'm a student of Italy now. So. But no, I know the name. I mean, I've heard of him. We've actually spoken about him before on chat.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, because he did Suspiria, which it came up for... For some reason, I don't know why he came, but we talked about it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know this movie?
He's known for those.
Tenebrae?
Like, I don't know it, but he's known for those like horror. It's like horror.
Yeah.
Genre movies that he does. So.
Yeah, if you're not watching on YouTube, the graphic that I have up, which is supposed to be the box cover, I guess, it's coming in 4K. It's the movie's from 1982. And it's like a black and white picture of a woman with red lipstick and, basically a butter knife stuck in her throat with some blood dripping down. So I'm guessing it's a horror genre.
I think that's a scalpel, actually.
You think that's a scalpel? Oh, I know. I see what you're saying.
It looks like a scalpel.
Or a shaving edge.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But from my vantage point here, it looks like a butter knife. You're going to butter you up.
I'm looking at it.
And this is the big one here from Arrow Video, Flatliners, Kiefer Sutherland from 1990. I don't feel like it was that long ago.
I know. Well,
cause doesn't it feel like when we graduated high school in 88, so like everything, when you're out of high school, you feel like that's adult life. Right.
Right.
So that just, I'm an adult now. I was an adult. What? I feel like that was just yesterday. No, this was.
Yeah, it was like 32 years
ago. 32 years ago. And it's, I like the artwork for this one, too, for the box. It looks really nice. I think I'm going to grab this one. Hopefully, if I'm going to wait and see if it has a good good review. I'll read my usual review people, you know, Mike at AV Nirvana, Ralph Potts, and, you know.
It is a cool cover.
See what people think of it, but it looks good. It won't be on Kaleidoscape because it's Arrow Video, so I'm looking forward to the 4K of this. Yeah, it'll be good. And that's it. Very short week. Next week's a big week, though. The week after, we'll have a bunch to talk about next week. Some good ones, too. So, all right. That should do that. See, we are cooking along. Then what do we got coming up next? We had, listener experiences. Listener experiences. Let's see. What did we have this week? We had a few. We had a few this week. Let me see. I got to bring out that paperwork thing, sounder that we did before from the other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What do we got here? All right. Gurinder checking in slowly but surely, making progress. He's redoing his theater, but he's doing walls, he's doing insulation, he's got he sends us pictures. It looks great, but as he says, like, the anticipation is growing slowly but surely. But he goes, it does make me want to not build that wall and door in the opening, because just want to finish the bulkhead and clean the room up and start watching movies and shows. I'm like, nope.
Patience, yeah, but you'll be happy that you'll pressurize the room, believe me.
Yeah, exactly.
as somebody that does not have that, you'll be happy that you do.
Yeah. WV Brew on Twitter says, DJ, my brother wrapped his latest movie. And I don't know if you remember when he was on the podcast on Takeover Tuesday.
I do.
And did you ever see Mine 9?
I talked to you about it. Yeah.
So good. Really looking forward to this one that he's doing. I'm almost positive it's about addiction too, if I remember right, the conversation. So it sounded like when he was describing it to me, it sounded like something Jen and I would really like. But it's right up her alley. So really looking forward to that. So they just finished rapping on it. There were some pictures included with that, and that'll be I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'm thinking get them on the show together. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd love to do that. That would be a lot of fun. Tweet from Steve Ratcliffe on Twitter. It says, watching Midnight Mass on Netflix, and it sounds like someone is moving around the bedroom above us. It's great when the sound is that good. And
believe me, I've been singing the virtues of Midnight Mass for a while.
Yeah.
It's, not up there with the best of shows that I've ever watched,
right?
But the sound design was really, really good on that.
Yeah, it's. I wish it was a better show. You had me at sound design.
It's not so much that it was a bad show. It's that, again, I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't watched it, but when you find out what it's ultimately about, it's a little disappointing. This is a mystery for a while. It's 8 episodes, I think. So you go 4 or 5 episodes before you realize it's just kind of pedestrian. It's like, oh, it's only that, and then it's kind of it dropped a notch for me after that. But I mean, the sound was incredible all the way through. And, again, the HDR, or UHD, everything was great. So.
Yeah,
it's definitely a good experience, but it did let me down a little bit, story wise. So
hey, they can't all be gems, right?
No, they can't. But I liked his other, I liked Hill House and Bly Manor. I liked both of those better.
Yeah.
Than this,
It's
funny. They were all the same guy.
It's funny because I used to watch stuff just for the home theater experience, regardless of the story and stuff. But we're getting so much content now that you can't pick and choose.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite, and it wasn't a bad movie. It was cute, but I own Casper, the Friendly Ghost on Laserdisc, because I was like, it's home theater. It had some spooky stuff in it. It had a good home theater experience. But back in the 90s, that the only way you could get it was on Laserdisc, and it was a rare right. that it was a something like that. Now we're having the stuff pumped right into our homes, and it's right. way better quality than the Laserdiscs back then.
Yeah, pretty soon I won't have to watch Hurricane Heist anymore because there'll be so much better stuff to watch.
That is really, but that's that, and that gets to that point though, that that's that yeah. good, that there is so much other content, but that is really yeah. good.
It's really, really good. It is yeah. really good. You know, one of these days I'll buy the Twister, you know, German release. And
yeah. Oh, I'm going to be talking about that real soon. That's why I've been waiting on it. We'll talk more next week, but that has the Oro 3D disc with it, and I now have right. Oro 3D. So
right.
mm-hmm. we're going to have loads see. Of fun with that. Same with Daylight. HD Report, my buddy Jeff over there. He tagged me in this. He's like, what's your take on dual subwoofers, 1,000-watt monolith? And so it's a monolith subwoofer with, it's obviously 1,000 watts, but dual subwoofer in one casing. Okay, so it's one box with two, I believe it's two 8-inch woofers, I think.
Right.
But that's a pretty big subwoofer. Because he asked, I tweeted, I'm like,
isn't it still just like one sub?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm no expert, but to me, the yeah. benefit of multiple subs is placement and being able
correct.
To, you know, put them around your room. To right. me, that's just the same as having a big 16-inch woofer.
Yeah. You know, aesthetically, I mean? If you just like to have that, it's nice, you know, but you're still going to need two of those. But in my opinion, right. that doesn't mean you have four subwoofers. That means right. you, I mean, dual woofers, just, that's just one subwoofer there. Very much like right. if you buy two subwoofers and stack them, you just turned it into one because it's right. moving the air from the same place. And so I'm not, honestly, it's like,
I'm not, like I said, I don't claim to be an expert at all, but that,
right.
that's my take as well, is yeah. that it's essentially still just one sub.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. Comment on YouTube from Mr. Motown talking about our preview of Jurassic World Dominion. He says, great show, fellas. I'm about to check out The Gray Man on Netflix. And I replied to him. I go, well, then you'll be well prepared for next week's show.
Yep.
Because we're going to be talking about that later on. And we have thoughts. That's all we've said to each other. We have yeah. thoughts. So let's see. Next up, we have, BJ Horton. He's back.
BJ.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a while, and he used to comment all the time. But yeah, he says, excited for another show with Steve George. So I didn't even plan this segue, but John, what do you say? For those of you that don't know, that weren't listening to the end of Tuesday's podcast, we talked for over 2 hours. And then at the end, we had pretty big announcement. It was a question that turned into an announcement, because if he said no, it just would have gone out on the air that I got dejected.
Rejected.
Yeah.
So, or you could have edited it out.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Edited it out.
Edited it out. Yeah, edited it out.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
That's a tongue twister.
I asked Steve. I got down on one knee. He accepted. So we are now officially Brightside International. I think our stock went up slightly.
Yes, there you go.
But yeah, so Steve's going to be georging us. Steve is going to be joining us each week, and so with that, let's go to Steve right now. We've already recorded it because we were talking the other day. So we have our a little announcement this week. So let's drop that in right here. All right. Our first, what are we calling this, Steve? Steve George is joining us for the first time on the official show. We announced it the other day when he was on with the Takeover Tuesday. Welcome, Steve. Now we got a workshop. What are we calling this thing?
Oof. I'm not sure what we can call this. What could we call it?
Let me, yes. while you think about that.
You caught me on the hop now.
I know. So To be fair, let's a peek behind the curtain. So we literally just announced it, and now we're hitting record again and recording the segment. So for people, like, if you listen to the Takeover Tuesday show, you heard me say, like, I can't act. So you know this isn't an act. Like, we're literally like, what are we going to call this thing? I don't know. It's a, this is fun. Let's do it. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I think for
Brightside
right now,
International, maybe.
What's that? Brightside,
Brightside International.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Brightside International. It's like, yeah, we'll go with that. International.
If we go with that, then that way, when you get some listeners from Tatooine, then it can be Brightside Galactic. You know, it's room to grow.
There we go. Yeah, we got galaxies to explore. We'll expand out into the universe. all right. So what are some fun things, some fun differences right off the cuff? Because like I said, you literally just found out about this shortly ago. What are some fun differences between what you experience, your experience over there that you've noticed to our experience over here that as we're going through this, it is going to be fun?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are, of course, different releases. In mm-hmm. terms of 4K, but not just 4K, but Blu-ray as well. There are some different releases in the UK and to the States. Used to be, of course, you guys would get everything earlier. We would get it later. And yet, recently, we are starting to get movies earlier than you guys. So I can give you a different sort of perspective in terms of certain releases. There mm-hmm. are some things that have been released in Europe, which will come to us more quickly as well. So there's lots of things. Recently we've had Cop Shop. Recently we've had Greenland. Again, we talked about Twister and Date.
Daylight
slipped my mind. Daylight, that's the one. And films like that that we are going to get earlier, and some of the below the line films, some of the smaller movies maybe that don't always reach across the pond that you guys wouldn't necessarily hear about. And I like to keep my ear to the ground for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if I see it, really enjoy it, I can share it with you guys. And it may be that you know, bearing in mind the sheer amount of content that's coming, that you may think, oh, look, I haven't got time for that. But there may be some people that think, do you know what? I've not heard of that. I think I'll check that out.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it these days is, of course, there are so many online suppliers. You can get it quite easily and have it shipped over. Hopefully there's a chance there to actually see some stuff that you wouldn't normally encounter. So that's the kind of thing. I think that's straight off the bat. I think that's the stuff that you know, we can help with. And then, you know, we have some of the back catalog releases as well coming out here. There's something coming out on Monday here, the Michael Caine film, Get Carter.
You just found out you're like, coming up on Monday. How the
hell? Yeah, well,
you're good.
Pre-orders are a great thing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So you got that coming out on, yeah, your release day is different than ours.
Monday.
Yours is Mondays. Yours is ours is Tuesdays. Yep.
Yeah. So that's a BFI release. That's coming out on Mondays. That's British Film Institute release.
Okay.
And they're quite decent. But bearing in mind they're kind of an independent label, they're actually pretty good. They did The Prophecy, I think it was Prophecy. A Western that came out not that long ago, and that was a really good release. And I sort of highlighted that on Twitter. And in fact, Todd Anderson then imported it, was raving about that. Was really impressed with it. So I can, you know, give you an insight into all of that.
Awesome. Yeah, honestly, that's what I thought of. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big stuff. We'll have our quick, you know, obviously we'll keep it 10, 15 minutes, but we'll get opinions because we both have them, and that's part of the fun. But it's those little, those nuances that a lot of, movies maybe we've never heard of that maybe we want to import. And one of the reasons I want to bring you on is because we have a very similar outlook on a lot of this stuff, in that it is about the experience, right? And if you have a movie over there that has a great experience that we want to, that maybe we haven't heard of, that's what I want to, that's one of the things I want to tap into.
Let me just correct it. It's The Proposition, not The Prophecy. Oh, okay. I've just looked up my phone.
He's working and talking, working and talking. Look at you go.
Yeah, yeah. Was that seamless? Could you tell?
Yeah. So awesome. Awesome. Really excited.
So that'll be really, I'm really looking forward to that. And it'll be nice to keep up to date with it And then I can, you know, we can swap our opinions, as you say, each at regular intervals.
Yeah. Weekly basis. So that's awesome. This is just our first one. We obviously literally just found out. So do you have anything else? Any other little nuggets you want to go out on Friday? It's over the weekend for the listeners to think about over the weekend.
Well, we've just been talking earlier about the Multiverse of Madness and the issue with that. So I promise between now and the next Friday what we do to watch that and then see whether I encounter that as well, because I'm very curious to see whether that's the case. So I promise to watch that. Awesome. That'll be my homework between now and then. And then I can feedback on that from my perspective, at least.
Awesome.
What good that is.
Yeah. Hey, all the opinions matter. We discussed that on Tuesday. Awesome. And then I very much look forward to, months from now, the Love and Thunder review. So that'll be fun too.
Yeah. That won't be 15 minutes. That could be 15 weeks.
We may have to add in a special edition.
I'm prepared to heat humble pie if it's good the next time around. I'll be surprised, but if it is, then I'm prepared to accept my mistakes.
If you haven't heard his review, go back on Takeover Tuesday, and we got into it a little bit. We have the same opinions, just different passion for that opinion, I think. Is that accurate?
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. You're more forgiving than I am, I think.
Exactly.
On some of it,
but
I think probably rightly so.
I don't know. We'll see. But all right, that will do it for this week. But Steve, you will be back next week, and you are going to push play on Multiverse of Madness, plus more of the Brightside International differences, if we want to call it that. Whatever. I don't know. We're workshopping it, people. So, Steve, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure. Will do. See you then.
And now we're back. Look at that. Wasn't that great, John?
It was awesome.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So, I'm psyched. That's awesome. Steve's going to be georging us each week.
Georging us. Talk about tongue twisters.
Talk about tongue twisters. Wow. Steve will be joining us each week. And as we said, it's going to be, for him and I, we just get on a quick, we DM each other or whatever. And those conversations take a lot. So we're going to be trying to keep it as short as possible for our own sanity and our own, schedules and stuff. But we can definitely make it work. And I think he's going to, I love it. I think it's going to add a lot to the show, because there's a lot of differences over there. Different experiences, coming out that we don't get. And then we end up having to import, so we're going to get heads up on all of that from somebody he's been doing it a long time. I mean, he's very, Steve's, when I first started talking to him, I got wicked nervous because he had, and that's my Boston accent, wicked nervous.
Oh, I know.
So, he had a ton of Twitter followers. He knew his stuff, and I looked up to him, and I was like, oh. And then when he told me he hated Midway, I was like, oh crap, I just lost a listener. So that's right. Why we have that. But he was really good about it. He's like, hey, we had a good conversation about it on Twitter and everything. So that gave me some confidence. I've told that story before, but I'm really excited, and he's to have him on. He's been a great promoter of the show as well, like a lot of our listeners are. But he's, I'm just really excited to have him on. And one of the things I do feel guilty about, and I'll say this on the show to all the listeners, I wish I could have all of everybody on every week, but when you pick it, I feel bad for, why didn't you pick me? And it's like, I'm like, hey, like, you can't have everybody, but I do have everybody on Tuesdays, so you could still do that. Right. But Steve, I'm very excited for, congratulations to Steve on another non-paying job.
Right.
But really excited. So let them know on Twitter, say hi, welcome, all that. Hopefully I'm coming up with I got an idea for a graphic for them for on the show too. But yeah, awesome. So that'll be a lot of fun each week. I'm going to try to get those things him and I are going to try to record before we record, and I'm going to try to get those to you so that we can at least have an idea, just in case something comes up and we want to talk about it as well. And we will have to have him on the show. We'll get him on the show sometime with the three of us, so you guys can actually meet too.
Yeah.
I know you talked to him on Twitter and stuff, but
yeah, a little bit on Twitter this past weekend.
Yeah. So. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? And look at that. We're still in just listener comments here, and that all just because BJ said another show coming up with Steve George. Now it's every week. Every week. Excited for another show with Steve George. We just did that one. Let's see. Theo, great session. Thank you. That's what he said. Now I'm saying, thanks, Theo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Dominic on Twitter says, hi guys. I'm hopping to the Samsung soundbar and wireless sub along with rear speakers over the next few days. The Sony system is cheaper with higher watts, but I think the Samsung is overall a better option. Thanks. And he sent a link to the two different options. And I replied to this. The Samsung setup that he was going to. So this is a wireless, you know, it's a soundbar with wireless rear channels, wireless sub.
Right.
And I ran that system. I bought it for both of my kids in their dorm rooms. And I set Meg's up. Yeah. I said when they went to college, I was like, you know, you show up to move them in and you surprise them with a little something. Everybody's like, here's a little, you know, a basket of food or something. And then,
or a mini fridge or something.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, a little something
DJ
to get
with
you
a
by.
Surround sound system.
Yeah. You're going to have a surround sound system in your dorm room. And Meg's went over really well. We set it up and it was kind of funny. Her roommate, when she was a freshman, she's like, I'll bring the TV and then we'll, blah, blah. And they're like, I'll take care of that. And we're like, all right, we'll do all that. So they're like, oh yeah, we have a little sound system at home too. Meg's like, you ain't seen nothing yet. So we set the thing up. We got the sub going. And I think after 9 o'clock or something, they had like a quiet hour or something during the week.
Yeah.
And they were like, you can't play that thing. It kicked. It was good in a decent size
in a small space.
Room. Yeah. So I recommended that one. I mean, it's a good experience. You felt like stuff was flying by. It was good pans and everything like that. Right. So that's why I went with that one. I thought the Samsung was pretty cool. And let me see. What's this? Oh, Carl, John is fired up at the intro. Huzzah. Last week. I think he's making fun of you.
I think he is too. That's all right.
And last but not least, we have One More Coffee. That's his name on YouTube.
But, oh, okay. I was gonna say I don't get it.
I don't either, but not judging because he said, excellent show. I'm a new sub. First saw you on the SVS Happy Hour. Cheers.
Oh, nice.
So see that?
Very cool. Yeah. You see it works.
We're growing. Oh, all right. So that's it for listener experiences this week, as far as I know. I don't even know. I thought I got some timestamps. Maybe I misplaced them. But if you have any timestamps, send those in. I'll add them to the database. Haven't had a chance to work on the database in this past week, but I will be getting back to that pretty soon. Looking forward to it, actually. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, let's get to our real HT experiences. Let's do that. Let's get the projector running here. See? It even lights up on the screen and everything. Projector is running. You want to go first? What do you got?
Sure. First thing I watched was Billy the Kid, season one. Funny story, I started watching on Amazon Prime, and then, much like Yellow Jackets, and this must be a thing that Amazon is doing now, only two episodes were available there.
Yep.
And I had to subscribe to Epix to watch the rest of this. Unlike Yellow Jackets, I was really into the first two episodes of this, and so I really wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
So buying the season, you know, through Amazon was like $19.
Yep.
Or I could do a 7-day free trial on Epics, which is what
and
I did.
Binge it.
Or even get a month of Epics for $4.99. But yeah, so I did my free trial, binged it on Epics. Outside of the theater experience, this was just a really, really good show. Onto itself. I really liked it a lot. I'm hoping that it gets picked up for a season two because, you know, much, you know, it's a historical figure, so most of the story is out there, but this definitely wasn't the end of the story after season one. So hopefully there's plans for this to go on.
How's the home theater, John? I'm waiting on that.
But yeah, going into the home theater part of it, it was excellent. You know, again, not Atmos. I don't know if Epics even supports that, but you know, really great up mixing. As you would expect, it's a Western show, so there's lots of gunfire, lots of shooting, lots of time sleeping out in the rain and the thunderstorms and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Horses galloping all over the place. And it was pretty solid. I felt like it was, you know, everything was engaged. There was a lot of good overhead action. There was a lot of conversations in saloons and things where you could hear people, you know, off to your left, off to your right, you know, all that good stuff. So it was really good.
Look at your screen.
I liked it. Oh, did you purchase it?
Just did. I was waiting to hear on Kaleidoscape.
On Kaleidoscape?
Yeah.
It was $19. I'd be interested to see. I mean, I'm sure it's not Atmos still. Because
no, it's not. It's only in HD. I'm sure it's not Atmos. I'm sure it's just, you know.
But it was really good. I think you'll like it. I'm
really
glad you picked that up.
That's why I asked you the other day, because I saw
and
you
I was
put
only
it on the
two
list.
Episodes in. Yeah, I was only two episodes in at that point, and I think I made similar comment back to you as far as, like I said, the gun, you know, there's all kinds of gunfire that's happening because it's a Western show. But, you know, like I said, running streams and lots of rain and all that stuff, the atmosphere effects were pretty good. So,
yeah,
I definitely recommend.
Oh, you didn't even
and
get
I will
to
subscribe,
that with your tweak.
And I will subscribe to Epics for a season two if they come out.
Oh, really?
Like, I liked it. I liked it that much that I'll subscribe to the channel.
Do you know, you know what's funny is I did, well, I told you back before I was doing The Expanse. And I was going through that on Amazon, and as soon as I went, I saw that it was available on Kaleidoscape, and that is, I mean, that's a substantial jump, going from streaming of anything, right, to the Kaleidoscape. I mean, at some, we've been over the physical media versus Kaleidoscape stuff, but that's a substantial jump, and that's worth it to me. I mean, to pay $20 for a show that you're going to watch the whole show to get full quality, and The Expanse was just, it was really, really good, especially when you're dealing with HD. Honestly, the when I did I couldn't even compare it, but watching the HD version through Kaleidoscape of the first, I think it's four seasons, you and I talked about four seasons,
right?
And those are only in HD, but then on Amazon it goes to 4K with Dolby Atmos, right? When I went from the Kaleidoscape in HD in season four to the Atmos streaming, it was practically seamless. It felt like the same quality going across. So that, to me, I would have bought five and six on Kaleidoscape too, but they're not available because Amazon's keeping those proprietary to themselves.
Right.
But this, I was like, if he really likes it, I was going to try to grab it before the show, but I'm like, no, I'll wait till the show and see what you think of it.
Well, and The Expanse is one of those shows that you don't mind owning anyways, because like for me, there's Battlestar Galactica that I'll go back to every other year or so. I can see The Expanse being a show like that too. Like I've only gone through it once right now, but next time I'm looking for like kind of a long binge to keep me busy, I'll probably jump to The Expanse and do it again, because again, there's so much to it that a second viewing through there, I can imagine, would enhance a lot of what you missed the first time around. So,
All right. Let me go. I'll grab, I'm going to go with second one that right now. Let me see. We'll talk about this. The Old Guard.
Oh, yeah.
So this was brought up because of the show we're going to be talking, the movie we're going to be talking about in a little bit. And it just all the other Netflix shows. And I was like, you know what? All I wanted to do was, you know, click on it and see how it looked and all of that stuff, right? And I got sucked in.
You watched the whole thing? Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, this time, I mean, it has got really good surround sound. And I thought it would be good to talk about in the show, too, because I'm not sure how many people have seen this. I know I talked about it in the show, but that was like, what, 2 years ago this came out? Right. It was in
it's been a while.
Like July, 2 years ago. We talked about, we read the comics. Watching this again was really fun because I'd forgotten a lot of the story. I'd forgotten the comics. Yeah. And then it starts to come back. Their names all start to come back to you. But then the storyline, you're like, oh, yeah. But what I liked is because I wasn't as involved with the story and I'm like, oh, I could really pay attention to the home theater part. And there's some really good bass in this. And we'll get to that when we talk about the Gray Man. But great pans. I thought the HDR was really nice. Some of those desert scenes, some of the action scenes, there's some good explosions with nice depth inside of the fireballs, inside of the explosions, the gunfire, which the opening scene.
Well, I say there's that opening. Yeah. That
is
scene.
Nice. It's punchy. It is really good. So, but yeah, 4K with Atmos, I really enjoyed it. And like I said, it's another one of those things where you're just like, oh, let me just check this out. All right.
Yeah. Luckily, I did that with Tomorrow War not too long ago. And
yeah,
I was going to watch just the beginning opening scene.
Yeah.
2.5 hours later, I was watching the credits.
And that one's that one's on Amazon.
That's on Amazon. Amazon Prime. But it's still really good.
A rare shining moment for them.
Yes.
But yeah, so The Old Guard on Netflix, if you haven't seen that, Charlize Theron, it's so good. So I could watch her read the phone book.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that alone is a good reason.
I think she's great.
You've got me kind of itching to watch that again myself, so I may throw that on later.
There you go. So we'll talk about it again next week. All right, what else you got? What's your next one?
Next one is a particular episode of For All Mankind. Now, are you caught up on this season?
No, I haven't even started it.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we've talked about this show many times, and it's Apple TV, so we've extolled the virtues of Apple TV a bunch of times. But this episode even stood out to me above and beyond the normal episodes. I just felt like it was so engaging. Like, I was constantly looking around, looking around my room at conversation. Again, I don't want to spoil anything about what's going on because you're not caught up, but
yeah,
like lots of conversations happening in the ship. There's kind of like a catastrophe that happens near the end of the episode that really punches, like the bass hits really hard. And I just thought this episode was fantastic. So I had to put it on the list because it really stood out. When I was done watching it, I was like, that was really good. Nice. So, and like I said, the show itself is fantastic. You should be watching it anyways if you have Apple TV, but this episode just kind of stood out to me.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to get I just need some time, and I'm not hoping. I know what happens. It's like once summer's over and things start to cool off and I go to work a little later,
get caught up.
Every morning I just get to, and that's when I really get to take these in. So looking forward to that. And did you see that C is coming?
I did, yeah.
The final season.
I saw the trailer for season 3 and it looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bunch of trailers. Wakanda Forever. I have that one. We'll talk about next week. We'll really get into some trailers.
Well, there was a
week.
Bunch of Comic-Con trailers. Yeah.
But
some of them look good too. Like Rings of Power. Rings of Power looks good.
Yeah.
House of the Dragon looks good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, we could get into some of that stuff next week. But yeah, this Apple TV is so good.
They kill it.
So
yeah.
Good. All right, another one. Here you go, John. Now, you thought the old guard was fun.
I don't know which one you're going to go to.
Extraction.
So. Yeah.
This
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
It was a great movie.
It was. It was. It was a different.
You went down
pace.
The Netflix rabbit hole, huh? After The Gray Man.
I had to. Kind of had to. And we'll get to that when we get to The Gray Man.
I know we will.
But I kind of had to. Kind of. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, another Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen this already. You know, Chris Hemsworth. It's an action movie, but it's, I want to say it's a little smarter of an action movie.
Yeah, yeah. It did have some depth to the story, and I think they're working on a sequel to this too.
Yeah, I did hear that.
And now, if I'm not mistaken, is this not also the Russo brothers?
I think it is. If because I was
they did
watching
the Gray
it
Man as well. Yeah.
Yes. So.
But yeah, I think this was the Russo brothers, kind of like the first thing they did after Endgame.
And that was the big selling point. You were like, oh, right. Yeah, you can't wait for this. And it's, but yeah, I had a lot of fun with it the first time. I had even more fun this time because this is another one of those movies. If you have a good, you know, OLED television, you have good HDR, this is, you really get to take advantage of it in this movie because there's a lot of nuances. This movie to me felt like completely different tone, but it did feel like the Batman in that Mandalorian, where it's not a high contrast type thing like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is
right,
super vibrant and everything, and
kind of tan. It was really tan,
very tan, very,
but like sandy, like sand, yes, like that color, yeah.
But there were moments where, yeah, but you, like basically, you could feel and see that humidity in the air. You could feel with good HDR. And the first time I watched this, looked good, loved it. But I didn't have my Lumigen at the time.
I was going to say, this is after, you know, pre-Lumigen, right?
Yeah. So,
and so was the Old Guard.
Actually,
you watched both of those.
Yes, which is another thing that kind of like drags you into it. You're kind of like, oh, wow. You know, it's a different experience. So that's why I'm saying, like, if you have an OLED or you have really good HDR, these movies, or, you know, a Dolby Vision television, because they are in Dolby Vision. They look fantastic. So, and the Atmos in this, again, I didn't find this to be, you know, your typical action, mindless action at the door type thing where it's just explosions. But there's some really nice stuff in this movie. And I thought it was fun. But it's a great, the sights are awesome and the sounds are really, really good. So, another Netflix special. There you go. Netflix knocking it out of the park today, right?
They are. Yeah, so far. I guess we're not really subtly concealing
John,
how we felt about this show.
Huh? We've never been
subtle.
But
we haven't talked about it, so it's
not yet.
It seems like we're of the same thought process.
Yes, I know.
So,
all right. Your last one. I have two more, but you want me to go one more and then we'll go?
Sure. Sure,
all right, one more. So let me bring this one up. You and I talked about it on our other show,
yes.
The Northman. You saw that, and then, but I didn't really get into it. Steve and I got into it on Tuesday. He loves it, and we kind of geeked out about it. And I wanted to bring it up with you because I rewatched it, knowing that Steve had just got it last week, 2 weeks ago now, right. And. You said you didn't like it. You thought it was okay. But what about
the... I thought it was okay, and I watched it... I don't know if it was Peacock. Like, I watched it streaming. I don't know if it was Peacock or Paramount Plus or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
But this was one that I was super excited for.
Yeah.
Really wanted to get to the theater to see it. And I think I rubbed off on you to where you ended up buying it, and I never did get to the theater to see it.
Right.
So... I watched it streaming, which I knew, you know, was already going to be a deficit, but it wasn't available on disc at the time,
right?
And I wanted to see it. So I didn't find the experience home theater-wise to be that great. on streaming.
Oh.
And you mentioned, when I said that on the other show, you made the same comment, basically, that it was really good. But then I didn't like the movie as much either. Like,
but
I thought it went a little too... I thought it was a little too magical or mystical whatever, you know.
But here's the thing. And this is what Steve and I were saying. One of the things Steve and I said, and this kind of works perfectly with what you're saying, is that we were like, I didn't even need words. I didn't need a story. This thing is like, just when you see this, if you get to see, like, when you see the physical release of this, okay, whenever that is, you're going to be like, oh, okay. Because the sound, absolutely amazing. The opening scene from this movie, when it comes in with the sounds going around, you're kind of in the dark, sounds around the room, and then you get the voiceover, and the voiceover is so gravelly, so deep, and it just, like, it feels like the voice of God over your head, and you're just like, oh my God. And I almost felt like it kind of moved from the front of the room to the back of the room over my head, which was really weird, but it was. And then you go to that erupting volcano type thing, right? But there's no fire yet, so all you're getting is just like a smoldering volcano, and the picture on that, the blacks and the grays and just the texture of the smoke, and the every shot of this movie looked like it should have been like a painting or something. The way that it was in 185 aspect ratio, so it took up your full screen pretty much, and you're just it was just awesome. And then, but I can see what you're saying, that you're like, I saw it on Paramount, and none of that was, you weren't being impacted by the sound and the sights and the sounds and the scenes, right? So you're just stuck with the story, which at the same, just with that, I could see how you're feeling. You know, and you're like, And Steve and I think we even said that, like, if you're just watching this on your regular TV, you're going to kind of be like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's a revenge flick. All right.
Yeah, and it was, and it wasn't quite what I hoped it would be.
Right.
But I can see what you're saying, too. Like, even though I watched it streaming, I can see that it could have been grand. You know what I mean?
Oh, because, it was grand. it is amazing. It really is. And Steve has it down as his he thinks it's in the running for the movie of the year so far. He loved it that much. I think I kind of go with the Batman so far, because I think that one is just as artistic in a different way, and I like that story better to go along with, like, what you're saying with this one.
Right.
But yeah, I really liked it. Highly recommend that. Definitely is in the running for, like, movie of the year, but I can't say it would win in my vote, but. Right. But I could see what he's saying. It is really, really good.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to having the opportunity to watch it again. Again, I don't know that I'll love the story anymore.
Right.
But the experience of it.
Really good.
I look forward to.
Beautiful scenes. The landscape of the area felt like shot as beautifully as, you know, Lord of the Rings. Really?
Yeah.
You know, some of those landscapes are just really nice. So, all right. Let's see. What else? What's your last one?
Last thing I have is Tokyo Vice, season one, although I'm not finished with it. Yeah, I am. I think we're two episodes left. We'll probably finish tonight. This is on HBO Max. And so once again, no Atmos, even though they have the ability to do that. They're not giving it to us. But this was recommended by a listener from chat a while back. I don't remember who brought it up, but it was also on my list of things to get to eventually. This is good. This is a really good show. It's got Ansel Elgort, I think, who was in Baby Driver. And
Ella Rump.
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on the guy that's in it, but you've
Hideki Itō.
We've all seen him.
But those are the only two that are on the page.
Oh, well, maybe it is, but yeah, but you'll know him. Like Ito. you've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Like you recognize him as soon as you see him. But
I recognize him. I think that's him.
Not quite what I thought it was. Not to spoil anything, but you hear Tokyo Vice and you see them on screen, and you think they're both cops. You know, yeah, in Tokyo. But that's not the case. One of them's a cop. The other guy's a reporter. Ansel Elgort is actually a reporter. And they get mixed up with the Yakuza and, you know, all that stuff. But really, really good show. And, yeah, again, pretty decent sound here. Again, no Atmos. But and where it really stands out more than anything is the music. Because there's lots of scenes where you get that kind of Japanese drum music, mm-hmm. the score, and you know, you're getting that overhead and all around you, and it's pretty immersive. And that's been really, really cool. Not so much with like the atmospheric effects. Like I haven't noticed as much of the pans and the surrounds. It's really the score that stands out here. But it's also really good looking. You can tell by the poster, it's got that like this blues and reds, and it's a lot of Tokyo at night or in nightclubs. So there's lots of that color scheme going on, and it's really beautiful to look at. And then, you know, Japan itself, you've got like the cherry blossoms and all that stuff. So it's really, really visually.
Too bad they're not doing it in 4K.
It's ridiculous that they're not doing that.
And they have the capability.
They can do it. Yeah. And, you know, I sent you that story the other day that they're about to put all of Game of Thrones on HBO Max with Atmos and 4K. It's like they have that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just turn it on for everything, because this show would really benefit from that.
Brightside Home Theater, you mean?
Yes. The Brightside Home Theater and Tokyo Vice.
Oh, okay.
But on top of all that, it's a pretty compelling show.
Yeah.
Again, I think you would really like it. So I recommend it.
I mean, to be fair though, you don't need 4K HDR and
Atmos. You don't have to, because again,
you can still get a great experience.
I mean,
but you still get a room
experience.
And
exactly.
Speaking of which, you didn't mention your up mixing tweak.
Yeah. So my other little tweak this week. And you know, we talked about it briefly before the show started, because this came about from just an offhand comment that you made last week with something we were talking about. And I realized that, you know, I have my Denon receiver, and of course it's set to play highest quality available. So when Atmos is there, Atmos kicks on. But for everything else, I was listening to everything in Dolby Surround, which I thought was, you know, where it should be. And you made the comment based on something we were talking about in this section last week.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, yeah, well, I have everything up mixed with, you know, my Neural X. And I was like thinking to myself, I'm not using that. I'm using Dolby Surround.
Yeah.
So
well, you were probably using it was automatically going the next. It was up mixing to the proprietary one. Right. So like DTS was probably getting Neural X, but Dolby was getting Dolby. Right.
So I went on and I switched, you know, I went into the AVR and I switched everything to Neural X, DTS Neural X, and again, immediately noticed the difference.
Yeah.
It was while I was watching Billy the Kid. I had done like two episodes one way, mm-hmm. and then I switched it over. And then I've been watching all of Tokyo Vice that way too. And you know, it's another one of those things that I felt kind of stupid because I should have already been doing that, but I wasn't. But yeah, that was kind of an upgrade that I gave myself this week.
Nice.
For free.
Free.
And again, just because.
Substantially cheaper than mine.
Yes. But just because of conversation.
Probably bigger.
It was probably a bigger upgrade for me than what you got for you. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty good one. But yeah.
But again, just from a conversation that we had, that you just never know what you're not doing or what you don't know you should be doing.
Right.
Until you know you hear something,
like
so,
yeah, just like uploading your files to the receiver,
exactly.
No, but that is how I don't know. That's I might have found out the same way, and that's why people listen to like AV Ran HT guys. It's like you listen to this stuff over and over, and we know not everything, but we know a lot of stuff. But sometimes you're like, oh yeah, maybe I should try that. And it's it where I find that that NeuralX, making everything default to NeuralX if it's not in Atmos or DTS:X, is the benefit is with an Apple TV where things come through PCM audio. It doesn't know what to do. And if you just say go to NeuralX, you get a more dynamic upmix because of just the way that DTS, that's just the way they run it. And they're boosting some stuff that your overheads get a little bit more. And it's just a more dynamic engagement, especially when you're doing some of the stuff we're streaming, like on certain shows, they're in stereo and you're upmixing to NeuralX. And that's what's nice about, I know you could do it on your Denon, but have you used the app on your phone and you can go, have you done that? And you see what your mix.
Well,
what
the I use the app on my phone, but I'm not sure what you're asking.
So if you look at the app on your phone, right? And in the bottom, I believe it's in the bottom right corner, you'll see a little, when you, where the volume is, right? So you'll have the volume slider right there. So right below the volume slider, all the way to the right, there'll be a little question mark. Tap on that, and then you can, then it'll show you, it's basically giving you the information on what the receiver's doing. And it'll show you what's coming in, and it'll tell you 4K, 60 frames per second, or whatever, 30 for 24 frames. It'll give you that information, but it also gives you a graphic of your room setup, right, with all the speakers. And it'll tell you these two channels are coming in, and then you slide, you know, swipe left, and it'll, now you go to what's being output. And you see, now you're getting all your channels. So it's, and it's upmixing, and it'll tell you. So I do that all the time. I love doing
it. Yeah, I haven't
actually
ever done
that. Oh, what am I actually getting here? Because it sounds amazing. Right. And you're like, crap, it's only two channels. And wow, this is a pretty good system.
Well, I'll be doing that a lot more now.
Yeah. Check it out. Yeah. If you have any questions, let me know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've just never clicked on the little question mark.
Yeah. It's pretty cool
to see what it,
to see what's there. But yeah, that's the idea. We just talk about stuff and you know, I was trying to help
I
didn't know it was
upgrades this week.
So. Yeah. There you go. Short money, big upgrades.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get to my upgrade. My last one. This is why I had to watch it. Star Wars: A New Hope. Had to. And I texted you. It was just last night. I'm like,
well, you texted me the Kaleidoscape picture, and I'm like, I don't get the significance of this. You've had this movie forever.
Right. So. What's the upgrade? What's the upgrade?
What's the upgrade?
But the upgrade is that whenever I do an upgrade in the room, I have to test it out with Star Wars: A New Hope.
Right.
And Joe had gone to bed. It took me hours to do this, to redo the room, and Joe had gone to bed, and I'm like, hey, I'm about to start the movie if you want to come down and check it out. And I gotta tell you, I didn't watch the whole thing, but the opening scene and everything, and then I kept going all the way to the lightsaber, basically. But the opening scene, we all know that score. I've heard, and that's why I use this, and I always stress this to people when it's like, what's a good demo scene and for calibrating or getting an idea for your system? And it's like, keep using the same scene over and over, because that way you're going to know what you have heard, haven't heard, and stuff like that. And it's different for everybody. And, it's funny how, when I ask people this one, it's that question, what's your favorite? And it usually comes up to something like this, because we all have that foundation. We all came from, you know, and people that come in on Takeover Tuesday, I'm like, so how did you start in home theater? It's like 90% of the people like Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Right. You know, and we all, and then we reminisce and people are apologizing. I'm sorry. I sound like everybody else. No, that's the point. That's what's great. Yeah. Let's keep it coming. But I got to tell you, running, I know it's a small upgrade, but it is an upgrade. I didn't think it would be this big of an upgrade. And when I say big, I don't mean like, whoa, you know, it's not like that, but I didn't think it would be this much of an incremental step. I'm having a hard time choosing my words here, because the experience I had before was really, really good. This one is just a little bit better, but more than I expected. And right. where it comes in is where it's most noticeable so far, because I've only had, you know, a few hours with this, is in the opening scene here, and that, you know, that score, that John Williams score comes on.
Yeah, well, it hits you hard right away.
Yes. You know. Well, now each drum beat, you can, like, I could feel it in the chest. And I'm not yeah. saying, like, you know, not like a gunshot, like a boom. It was, like, very precise, very discreet. And so much so that Joe hadn't come down when I texted him and I was starting it. So he was already in bed. And then he came down like 10 minutes later. And I was like, you've got to do this. And I go, sit in my seat. Normally he sits yeah. next to me. And I'm like, no, sit in the seat. I want you to get the best experience. Sit in that seat. And he was, when it came on, he even looked at me. And he was like, opened it, like his eyes went wide, like, oh my God. And I was like, I know. And he goes, and he did say, he goes, to be fair, I'm usually not sitting in this seat. And I go, oh, to be right. fair, I'm in your seat and I'm still getting it over here. You know, so yeah. it's pretty good. But what it is it, and it is more discreet, and that it's cleaner. It's right. And here's what, so this system, I talked to Ralph today, Ralph Potts, he has the exact same, I picked his brain like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago about this. He has the same exact processor. And I was like, what, when I was picking his brain, I'm like, what could I expect from this and everything? And he's like, you know, it, you just get cleaner sound. You're going to, cause you're getting 200 watts instead of 100 and whatever. I think, say it was 150, but a 150 in a receiver isn't a real 150. 200 watts off an Emotiva is 200 watts per channel. Right. And it's real. And he goes, you're going to get cleaner that. And then I'm like, okay, when I'm hearing it, it's, here's the thing. The big explosions, like if I went to, like, say, Ambulance and that movie, and it's like the big action scenes, those sound very similar because there's right. not really where do you go from there? The other one was loud and discreet. Everything was great.
Right.
It's in the nicer, quieter panning action scenes that you're really like, wow, there's a lot more cleanliness. It just felt cleaner and more, and those drum beats. Really, really discreet. It just, and there's a lot of that going on. So, that's my take so far. But yeah, Star Wars: A New Hope, yet again. I think I'm up to like maybe I've seen this movie like 6 times now.
Well, just
this
year.
Week.
No, okay.
Oh, I've seen it. I bet you I've seen this movie more than 6 times this year.
This year.
Yeah, because, well, Obi-Wan had me. I went through it, I know, at least twice watching Obi-Wan.
Right, but you got your Kaleidoscape this year.
I got my Kaleidoscape this year.
I think we talked about it on your anniversary episode.
Yeah.
You watched it then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, easily. So
I've watched it 2 or 3 times this year myself.
Yeah. Look at you.
Because I watched it with my projector. I watched it for the show.
Yep.
I probably watched it just to watch it. So,
yep. Luckily, it's a good movie.
Yeah. You know, I like it.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. That will, before we get to The Gray Man, let's bring in Todd. Let's bring in Todd Anderson. Todd and I are going to chit-chat away. Who knows where this is going to go? Because he's coming on to talk Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and his Base Hunters. Or Bass Hunters, if you're a fisherman. Yeah. Bass Hunters YouTube channel, which is really good. And I've got some things for him. Not criticisms, but some ideas. So we're going to get to all of that. Where he came up with this idea, all of that fun stuff. Plus, I when Todd and I get together, it's like, a lot like Steve George and I, or anybody, all of my listeners. Who knows how long this is going to be. So. When Todd and I are done, John and I will be back and we will talk, The Gray Man. So take it away, Todd.
See you on the other side.
Exactly. And there he is, the always handsome Todd Anderson. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Well, let's get right into it. This, I mean, you're going fishing, bass hunters, very exciting.
It's so funny you say that. A couple people commented on that.
Yeah, somebody said it. Yeah. I was like, holy crap, it's right. And if you Google it, you look up, you find bass boats.
I probably get a lot more viewers with bass hunters.
Bass hunters. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Let me throw up this little graphic here. You're doing such great work. I mean, do you want to get into that right off the bat? We're going to talk a lot of home theater, but let's get into, I mean, look at you. You've got the lighting going. You look pristine. You sound awesome. Your mic is off camera. You're so professional. And it's like,
I'm trying.
What? I know you're trying and you're succeeding. You're not just trying. You're nailing it. I think the first time I saw you, were you testing this stuff out when you were on SVS? You had a really nice lighting system going there. I think I texted you and very Hitchcockian.
Well,
very dramatic
that
night.
And, you know, the story behind all this equipment is right before COVID, it must have been before CES. So this was sometime in 2019. I bought all this gear.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it was actually end of 2018, but I think it was early, mid 2019. And I was like, you know, I need to maybe start transitioning a little bit away from writing and get more into the video stuff. And then the, you know, pandemic hit and all this stuff just kind of went into the storage shed. And I actually prefer writing to doing video stuff.
Really?
And it's I enjoy the process of writing, especially the reviews. I mean, the news articles can get a little mundane to cover unless it's something really interesting and I can have some fun with it. I still really love covering the industry and keeping up with, you know, everything that's going on, but writing a review can be a lot of fun, and there's a process to it, and getting creative with it is always fun. And a lot of that's lost with the camera because as I'm learning, that just the image and what you put on the screen can speak, you know, it's like a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
You don't have to say everything, which is one of the struggles that I've been having as I've been kind of learning how to, you know, make these videos.
Yeah.
You know, my first cut of the second episode was like 31 minutes long.
Oh.
And I watched it and I was like, my God, even I'm getting bored. You know, it's too wordy. It's too, you know,
hey,
so I got it down
to master a too wordy over here.
But you know, I really am gunning to get these down to like 6-7 minutes, which is a real challenge to do.
Isn't it? It's when I first started doing videos, I said to my son was helping me only by critiquing my stuff my goal was not to have jump cuts. I hated the jump cut, right? And when you watch videos, you watch people, they stand perfectly still so the jump cuts can, you know, seem seamless. And so they'll stand there. But I just wanted to be able to say my stuff and have it just come out. Like, because I do know this stuff. But then when you hit record, just something happens to you, right? And you're like,
Well, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a lens, which is not a face.
No,
so it's really, it's, you know, it's easy to look in a mirror and talk through what you're going to say. And then the second you sit down, you're like,
I know. It's like,
right.
Well, even like in these conversations here, right? Like, all right, this is on YouTube. I mean, it's in the middle of the part. But for me to look at, like, to make it look like I'm looking at you, I have to look at my camera up
right
here. But to actually see you, I have to look down over here. And then I put it, and I even arrange it on my screen so that when you're watching this, when I'm looking at you, it looks like I'm looking at you because you're on that side of the screen. So I think of all these things. I know you do too. And it's like your videos.
For sure.
That, like, just like you right now, the lighting you have with that purple lighting going behind you, and you have, I mean, you've got a great setup there anyways with the pinball machines when your lights are on. I mean, it's beautiful.
I do love, I love, you know, even just looking at pinball machines for me just gets me going. I mean, we could talk about that for hours and hours. I mean, that's such a insane, passionate hobby of mine. but yeah, I don't want to bore your home theater folks, but they're fun to look at. I mean, the light shows that they program in their attract modes, they're called, are just dazzling.
Yeah.
They're really spectacular, especially the modern machines. But,
so what,
I've got some special settings in my camera there that I can't even tell you what they are, but it helps, you know, the lights that are on me right now are like crazy bright, but the settings that you put into the camera, I mean, you probably know all this stuff better than I do. I mean,
I'm experimenting just like you. I'm trying, like you change different lighting. Like this here, we were talking before I started recording, my setup here is just, I mean, I'm literally in a closet, but it's just so simple. Everything's right here. When I set up in my theater, it takes me a little while. I'm probably going to be getting some tips from you on what your setup is, because you said it was pretty quick for you to set up and take down and everything. So
yeah,
that's
yeah, and it has to be, because I'm actually sitting at a bar in my there's nice. Like a
yeah.
I mean, I could pull the camera off and show you, but it's probably not going to show up very well. But there's a huge bar here, and you know, it just gets to be inconvenient when my daughters, who are still home for a few more weeks, they want to have friends come over and play. Right. You know, we've got a shuffleboard table over here, and so to have all this equipment out is not conducive to having people actually enjoy this space for what it's meant to be. But I don't have anywhere else to go in my house.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm in a freaking closet.
No, you do what you can do, right?
You do what you can do to get this out. And it's like, I mean, but like, I'm so jealous. You're one of the reasons I wanted to start recording in my theaters, because when I have you on, your backdrop is phenomenal. And I'm like, I got to have some. I mean, my theater, my backdrop looks pretty good when I'm in there. I like
it. Oh, yeah.
It's just
for sure
hard to get in there, right? And then, I mean, even Ralph, when I have Ralph Potts on, and the first time I had him on, I look at, he's sitting in a stand. I'm like, son of a, you guys.
You really need to look into some kind of mobile stand or rig or something that you can just carry in and carry out. I mean, they make them.
Yep. I got to get a crew.
You do. Yeah. Get your wife down there holding the boom out of her.
Where's the gaffer? I need my gaffer.
Yep. You know, it's fun. So you were saying, talking about jump cuts, the second video, you know, I used a lot of distortion.
Yeah, and I like that.
I was like, everybody else hated it.
Really?
I know, everybody else hated it. Well, I have this, like, there's kind of this, like, mechanized, you know, you got this robotic voice calling out bass hunters. Yeah, and
that was pretty cool.
And what happened is, after I realized episode 2 was 30-some minutes long, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start editing. So I went to the very beginning, this SVS, you know, we're giving away a HDMI cable. I know you've gotten some hands on their HDMI 2.1 cable.
Seven
cables.
Of them.
Oh, great. Do you really?
Oh yeah. I got seven. I want everything to match everything.
Yeah. They're beautiful cables. So, you know, so as I started to edit that from like 2 minutes down to a minute, I was like, I'm going to use this distortion to make it kind of seem like a transmission that's coming in and out. And I guess I got a little carried away with it, because the first comment on YouTube, and I'm not kidding you, within 5 minutes of it posting, I think there's something wrong with your upload. You know, next comment, I had to stop watching. And I've got a couple people that are helping me out, that know a lot more about this stuff and that are deep in that side of the industry. And they've kind of said, you might want to put the focus more on your content. So I'll still have a little kind of that mechanized feel to it, but it's going to be very, very subtle. You know, I'm going to have to get rid of the, I thought all the effects were really cool, but
I was
probably a little bit too much in the weeds.
Believe me, I've done so much stuff that it's come, it's gone. It's like people like it, but then you can't just keep, it's hard to keep up doing it. The thing in it really is hard to find a way to be like streamlined at this. And I'm getting pretty good at it. I would like to get to the point where I can, like, I'm trying right now, like with, to streamline everything so that we could stream. I would love to get to that point and be able to stream what I'm doing. And then be able to have that. So then the podcast would come out on Friday, but maybe I can stream it for people whenever, like even like this one here, people, we'd say we're recording at such and such a time and people could join in and just watch. But you have to be streamlined enough.
Yeah, when I do the AV Nirvana Live episodes, I use something called StreamYard.
Yep.
Yep, it's pretty inexpensive, exactly what you're talking about. It saves, but it also live streams to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Supposedly, I can do it through my OBS here, too. I can stream. I record everything I'm recording right now in OBS, right?
Okay.
And I can stream that. I just have to, it has to be streaming right to YouTube from OBS. Right. So everything I do would just show right up. And I'm getting to the point that all my audio, all my graphics, everything is as I'm going, I'm running it and be able to
run
that stuff as we go. So, yeah.
And wow. Yeah. You're way more advanced than
I've been doing it for 4 years probably. And like, mistakes come and go and you just learn. I'm not that advanced. I'm nitpicking away and, you know, just trying to have fun. And every time you learn something, you think you're cruising along easy. I just try to do something else. So there's never an easy street, right? You're always adding stuff. No. So,
yeah, it's so true.
But yeah, let's get back to Base Hunters here. What actually made you this? I love this idea. I love the nitty gritty stuff. I'm all about the experience, but there's a ton of people that love to get into the nitty gritty, the actual, you know, numbers. And I can't even think a better way to put it. The nitty gritty. I'm fascinated by it. So, I love what you're doing. I love your first couple of videos. Your first one, I'm kind of like, oh my God, look at that system. But so what made you get there? What made you decide to do this?
You know, you and I have talked privately. I've had some issues with hearing on one side of my head. So I'm kind of starting to shift away from being a reviewer of stereo gear. So that's leading me more towards bass, which I have delved into bass in the past with subwoofers and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's something that I kind of was thinking about doing for a while. I know that, you know, there are some websites where you can go and people are attempting to rate movies for their bass quality using various methods, and they're not always straightforward to the layman.
Yeah.
And not to disparage the efforts that those folks are putting out there, because it's really, you know, helpful stuff. But you know, what I'm attempting to do is to do just that. It's to make it more plain speak and use, you know, live scrolling images of the response with the sound, as long as YouTube doesn't start pulling me off for that. You know, I think it translates really well. It makes a good argument to, you know, what you're hearing through visual aids.
Oh, I was going to say, it could be fun to, like, I mean, Multiverse of Madness is a great example coming out hot on the, you know, right out of the gates with this one. Because, and when I say hot, I don't mean like, it's the best base example, as you say in the video. It's they could do better. But what's fun is, and this is where, like, and you and I have talked about this stuff in the past, it doesn't have to be the best, but then you're like, okay, so that's not the best, but I still had a really good experience with it on my end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's for you to pull out that information with that software, which I think is pretty cool. Where did you find that? That software.
It's top secret government issue.
Proprietary stuff.
Yeah. I found it on the internet. I can't, you know, to be honest, I searched around. There's all different programs that you can purchase. Some are super expensive, some are less expensive. I mean, if this really takes off and, you know, it gets traction, I could spend more and maybe get some better tools. But, you know, for the purposes right now, it's.
So what do you run a mic in the room? Cool. And it analyzes the sound. Are you running at reference level when you're doing this stuff? How's it set up?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much reference. And every time the decibel level is going to be this, you know, set. So there won't be fluctuations in terms of that. But yeah, there's a mini DSP, UMIC one, however mm-hmm. you want to pronounce it. And this program takes its calibration file into account. And yeah, I have a central position that I put the mic and record away. And it just takes in that information and spits it out live. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, the hope and now the purpose of this is not to cause you to like something less.
Right.
You know, I've told you before, one of my favorite movies of all time is The Right Stuff. I love that movie. It's what it got me into home theater. And that movie doesn't have great bass.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a bright sounding audio track. I still love that movie to pieces. And yeah. I'm going to have to analyze that at some point when I have time. But so that's not the point of this. The point of this is for people who really enjoy visiting demo moments in movies to find them and to say, hey, this is where you want to go. And you want proof? Here it is. You know, look at it. Not only did I experience it, but here's proof. And I think it's going to end up having two kind of end results. One's going to be demo-worthy clips. One is going to be reference clips. And the demo-worthy clips are going to be your Edge of No Tomorrow, that beginning scene.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's just demo material. You want to challenge your subwoofer?
Yeah.
Put that on, right?
Yeah.
But that's not reference to me. Reference is a bass moment in a movie that gets emotions going, that really like plays into the feeling of the moment. You know, it accentuates. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just adds to the power of a scene. Plus it's really amazing bass. So that's going to get a reference stamp. And then we'll have some that are, hey, this is pure demo. If you really want to go crazy and see what your sub can do, try this out. Yeah. So
Lucy, Monster Hunter, they're those are the fun type to me that are just like that. Like Lucy is just one of those where it's kind of like that Edge of Tomorrow type scene, but that opening scene in Edge of Tomorrow where your room vibrates a little bit. Lucy's like that, but like over and over at different points in the movie, especially when you get inside her head and you're like, whoa, you know, that's a scary bass example. The entire movie, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm really trying to, and this person who I guess I can kind of say is helping mentor me along here is suggesting that I do have almost a hard and fast formula that I'm using to evaluate these scenes. So, you know, this is a process I'm kind of learning as I'm going along of how I want to attack all this, but I think that I'm really close to having it nailed down. So when you watch it, you know, you know exactly what you're going to be getting each and every time, you know, a piece is evaluated. So, and what's really awesome with Kaleidoscape now, this, you know, second episode of Bass Hunters was intended to be released maybe 2 weeks ago, you know, 2 weeks out from the disc being launched. But, you know, Kaleidoscape is really excited to be a part of this because, you know, obviously it's good advertising for them.
Yeah.
But they're also pushing out this reference grade movie material, disc grade, whatever you want to call it. It's the best of the best. You can't get any better as a consumer. And it's coming early, right? So we have Jurassic World coming up. There is a horror movie called the something book, which isn't going to be released on disc until like, you know, later, much later in the year. So I'm hoping that, you know, folks can come to these, even if you're a disc lover, disc collector only, you can get a little sneak peek of like, oh, when this comes out in 3 weeks, I'm really in for a treat. Or I know I can dial up this, you know, chapter and I want to experience this or that really early. So we're going to, you know, we're going to run with that in that respect. But also, as I find these reference clips and demo clips, I'm going to build scripts just for those. Moments, which you can, once you download that script link, you know, it will keep building upon itself. And then Kaleidoscape users will also have access to, you know, instant access to reference moments, which should be pretty cool for them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Have you seen? Can we get a little sneak peek on your opinion of Jurassic World Dominion?
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it yet? Oh,
no. I spun my wheels so much with Doctor Strange, and I had a ton of just like mistakes happening, and then I got down to final edits, and then oddly enough, I mean. I can talk about this. I ended up, this is ridiculous. This is how ridiculous it is. So I had recorded last week, realized it was way too long, but I had some scruff.
Oh my God. Thank you. That's awesome.
And I was like, well, crap. And then this weekend was nuts. We had, my youngest daughter who's about to go off to college, was her last MCSL, which is the Montgomery County Swim League meet ever.
Yeah, so you tweeted that out. Yep.
Yeah, that was a real, real awesome moment for our whole family because we've been involved, we've been a swim family for like 16, 17 years now, and it's a huge commitment, as you know. Uh-huh. And that was our last, I'm actually the DJ at our home meets.
Oh, wow.
For those.
Look at you.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's tons of fun. I just have so many friends built into that community. And that was it was a very emotional moment. And she graduated out that day, that evening at a big ceremony and stuff. And it was really cool. But I'm out there. It's like 95 degrees. I've got this like beer going. Then we went that evening or we went on Sunday to a Yankees, O's game, which was at game time, 99 degrees. Ugh. I was dying. All I could think about was just, I wanted to get that off my face, but I couldn't because I had came home from that game and got back in front of the camera, same t-shirt, same to film. Yeah. Because I was not going to refilm everything. So believe me, that's not going to be happening again.
The things you do for continuity and that you're trying to, I mean, we're doing YouTube videos and we're trying to get the continuity. Like, I think this is the shirt I was wearing yesterday when I was recording with John, which this is going to be inserted into. I came home from work today to sit down with you. And then I'm like, I think this is the one. I'm pretty sure it was on the pile at the top, folded nicely. So I'm guessing this is, but the things we do that, and this is the stuff my son says, Dad, nobody cares. Like those jump cuts that you don't want to have in there. People expect that. They're watching YouTube. They expect this stuff.
I'm sure it's probably very true. I mean, I think people care about a lot less than we think.
No, but then that's what makes us. It's what makes us do what we do, right? Like you wouldn't be you if you sat down and didn't have the great lighting that you have, and the light that you've got a blue on one side, you got nice warm lighting on the other side, you've got the blurred back. I mean. But that's what makes you happy. And it's like you like doing that, right? And that's, I mean, I think that's why you and I get along so well is like ever since day one, we just, it's like the same thing. Like we have an eye for detail, and that's how we just do things.
Yeah. And I, once I committed to kind of partnering with Kaleidoscape on this, for me, it's trying to go all the way or just not do it at all. Like I've got to keep pushing. And I feel the same way about writing, although writing for me has gotten much, much easier over the years. I've been doing it now for, 9 years or so.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for me to think through the process and get going. I'm sure that this will get easier also.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just not that much of a talker. So
I can give you tips there.
yeah, we should probably talk.
Moving.
It's much easier for me to formulate and hide behind a keyboard and just kind of pound away. But I think this medium ultimately is better.
Yeah,
for getting ideas across.
It's on the go. People like you can't read an article while you're driving. You can't. I mean,
no.
We're especially now we're in a society where it's just go and. And now podcasts, I was very, very late to the game on listening to them, never mind becoming one. And the idea of it's just like everything is that you just cultivate what you want to hear and what you want to listen to all the time, whether you're doing like you said, you know, you're walking the dogs, you're doing, you know, yard work, I'm working, and people listen while they're at work because they can on their iPhones. It's just while you're driving, there's just such another way. You can take in so much more content that way, as opposed to reading an article, right?
Yeah. And articles have their place. I mean, there's still a lot of people that like to sit down and really grind through the nitty gritty of a written piece.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And they don't want to watch videos. They want, you know, a long form piece.
Yeah.
It does have its time and place. I hope it doesn't die. But it's getting harder and harder to support it for sure.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, YouTube is so dominant.
It's a search engine, you know, unto itself. You want to know how to do something, you go to YouTube, you know, people go to YouTube and then they just listen. I've done that with some of the podcasts where it's like, okay, I'll put it on and, you know, it's like a podcast. You just listen to the audio of it. And then when they say something like, oh, check this out, you're like, you grab your phone, you look. So, I mean,
it's really amazing. And also it gives a voice to so many people. You know, just go back 10 years ago, everything that was getting out to everyone was so filtered through certain sources. And that can be good and bad, because there's a lot of professionals out there that, you know, their opinion really does matter because they're that good.
Yeah.
But, you know, just having a form like this is pretty cool. I mean, look at this. You're on a computer. We're 500 miles away from each other?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're sitting in the same room and we're sharing ideas and other people can listen to them if they want to. I mean, it's just totally mind-boggling.
Yeah. And that's what's funny is that's what John says in the podcast. I think it is, as you're listening to this now, you might hear it later. I can't remember when he recorded it because this is going to get dropped into the middle. But last week I mentioned something just in our conversation in the podcast about a setting in my home theater. And he was like, oh, I don't think I'm doing that. So he went and checked it. Boom, instant upgrade. It's something that he hadn't been doing. And it's like, he's been in home theater for a long time. I'm like, I get ideas from you. I'm like, obviously I picked your brain on my latest upgrade here. And it's like, you see this stuff and
beautiful, beautiful purchase, by the way. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited with it. I haven't had the chance to really sit down and enjoy it that much. But it's a step in the right direction. So,
you're going from a Denon unit, correct?
Yes. A Denon. I can't remember the numbers off of it, but it was one of the earlier Atmos DTS:X models.
And it probably now you have multi EQ XT32.
That one had it too. I had the full.
Okay.
And one of the things that I was like. It kind of led me down this path is that, like, I was looking at getting the Odyssey EQ X.
The software.
You're right. Get upgraded. That's $200, but it's proprietary. It only stays to that unit, right? So I was looking at doing that. I had my 5-channel Emotiva, so all I needed was a few more six. But all of this other stuff that I'm like, what do I do? And I do want to someday, I want to get to the, you know, Storm Audio or, you know, a Trinov, someday. And this is kind of a step in that direction. And
what you have is so good. I mean, it's like I said to you, I mean, people lust after that gear right there. It's just great. Yeah, it's great performing gear. I mean, I have that XPA 5 amp that you have. Same one.
Yeah. Yeah, Gen 2.
I mean,
it's 200 watts.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's great.
Very powerful. Yeah. Yeah. They're great, great manufacturers.
I was looking to get how do they say it? Bass-X? Is that what it is?
I think it's actually Basics.
Basics? Okay.
Basics. Yeah.
All right. So when I when I was researching on what next amp I needed to get, I actually looked at getting an 11 channel, right? And I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just buy an 11 channel. I'll sell that one or whatever, because I wanted to have that power. But then I looked at the Emotiva 11 channels, and it was basically the exact same setup. It was five at 200, and then you had the unbalanced connections for a lower wattage channel, which was, I'm like, oh, so they're running, it's not, you're not getting 11 channels at 200 watts for, and it's like $2,000 or $2,100. So I was like, all right, I'll just add in this. It's 90 watts per channel, the basics six channel. Mm-hmm. And it sounds, to me, it sounds clean. Very.
Yeah. I'm sure it sounds great. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend
that
gear. And what you're talking about with the other amp, they basically would give you like five, or you can actually build it yourself. You can say, I want my three front mains to be dedicated 200 watts per channel. And then all the other parts of the amp are split. Right.
Oh, okay.
And to two channels each. I think, I mean, they've had a lot of success with basics. I was at Cedia when they first launched that, and they basically told me that the idea behind it is that, you know, the audiophile generation, the people that buy expensive gear, I mean, we're kind of at the tail end of it, but it's aging out. You know, that industry is now looking for, you know, how are we going to hook the younger folks and get them to buy stuff? And so Emotiva has this basics, you know, it's a little less expensive. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, you know, somebody who's 23 and in an apartment, you know, just out of school or whatever, or first job, that they can get a really good taste without having to drop all that coin.
Right. So
kind of an interesting way that they got around to wanting to go that route. I mean, it seems sensible that you'd want lower priced gear. I don't know how much lower priced it actually is. I mean, you could probably tell me since you bought.
It was six and change, I think. $600.
Yeah.
So it's about six channels, 90 watts a channel. And that's from every, you know, this stuff better than I do, but that's like a real 90 as opposed to Denon was, I think that was like 145, maybe 150 a channel, but that's, you know, and like I said, I don't get into that. It sounded great. The Denon sounded great.
Yeah.
And you and I talked, and I was asking for your opinion. You're one of the people I trust, and I wanted to know, like, what could I expect? And you
big
even
mistake.
Said, you were honest with me, though, and you were like, it's going to be a slight, not a huge upgrade. And I was like, okay. I also talked to Ralph Potts, because he has this model, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be, you're going to notice. And I'll get into more of it when I really break it down, but it was a cleaner version and it really tracked that way. And you were right. It is just, it's a minor upgrade, but to be honest with you, and I can't stress, and I already said it to John too in the podcast, I can't stress enough that I know this is a minor upgrade, but it's a bigger minor upgrade than I expected. I wasn't expecting it to be this much of an upgrade.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's minor. I think it's not like going 30 miles per hour in a car and then all of a sudden going 150 miles per hour, but it's definitely like going 30 and then going 65. You know what I mean? Like you're able to push your system more. I mean, with those outboard amps, you're removing the power supply, you know, out of the box, right? Okay. So you're not getting any crosstalk going on there. And you're absolutely right. Your old receiver, it may be 145 watts per channel, one channel driven, but once you start driving all channels, you know, that drops down.
Right.
But the real question is, what do you really need to drive your speakers? You don't need as much as you think, right?
No.
What you have is probably way overkill, but that's not a bad thing to have that headroom. I really don't think, I don't think you made a mistake. I think what you did was really good move.
I never look back. I never go, wow, geez. And let me ask you this. It's like, so here's where I heard the difference. Obviously, I watched Star Wars first. That's what I always watch first, right?
The original?
A New Hope. And the opening score, John Williams, the drums were just more distinct and like Like you could feel it like a single finger hit you in the chest that I'd never felt before. And then I asked my son about it. I was like, come down and he usually doesn't get wide-eyed about upgrades. And he was like, wow. And he's like, yeah. I haven't seen it as many times as you, but yeah, you can feel it. And that's something that wasn't there before. Obviously I heard the drums before.
Yeah.
A little bit more distinct. And that's where I feel like it's cleaner. You know what I mean? It's a cleaner power that's giving me that same speakers. And that's why I always like to do my upgrades in stage. So like everything else in my system is exactly the same. So the only upgrade, the only change is this. And it is good. I mean, I felt something that I hadn't felt before.
Interesting. I wonder if that, I mean, it could be the DACs that are in the Marantz. I mean, that unit that you purchased has their best of the best of everything.
Mm.
Right. So it could be the processing side. It could be the power side. It could just be that when you ran Odyssey, the microphone was just, you know, however you ran it was just different enough that it focused the image a little more. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah.
I
don't know.
It's really hard to say, but yeah. I don't doubt that you're hearing a difference.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Ralph told me, he's like, he goes, are you going to get the Odyssey, X or whatever it is, right? And I was like, yes, but I want to wait 2 or 3 months or at least a couple of months, experience this, and then see what that $200 gets me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much nicer can I, you know, streamline it better, you know, or tweak it a little bit more? I don't know. But it's fun. I don't know if I'll hear a big difference there, but I'm willing to, you know, you pay the money and see how much of difference it makes, you know?
Yeah. We can talk later. I might be able to put you in touch with somebody over there that could talk to you about it.
Cool. And, I have the new, now I have access to Oral 3D.
Yes. I have
it. I couldn't wait to talk to you about it because you're
some Oral 3D.
Huge,
I love it.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you do. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get this because it was another $200 uptick on my Denon I would have to get. And I was like, do I spend it on that? And plus the other thing, I'm up to $400. I'm like, why put all that into this receiver when I can just, you know, put that towards the upgrade?
Good choice.
And yeah, and now I'm really excited about it. And I'm like, oof. I haven't listened to it yet, but
you haven't tried, you haven't played around with upmixing just well, your speaker. Let's see.
I have a regular Atmos DTS:X speaker layout. I have no God speaker.
Still, well, you don't need the God speaker.
No.
If you're going to listen to straight Oro content, you really need the front and rear speakers mounted in a certain way. They can't be up in the ceiling. They have to be top wall, front and back. But
okay,
you can still upmix using your existing speakers. And it, my opinion, and I know a lot of folks in the industry share this opinion, upmixing using Oromatic, I forget what they call it on, they might call it Oromatic on your Marantz, or it might be called Oro 2D.
Oro 2D, but I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, is that just two channel or what? I think
Oro 2D might actually be for when you're listening to stereo music and you can upmix it almost like Dolby Surround.
Right.
And I did, years ago, I did test you're right. It is Oro 2D for that. I pitted Oro 2D versus the Dolby Surround versus DTS
NeuralX.
NeuralX. It might be. And for stereo two channel listening, no doubt the Oro 2D leaves the front soundstage intact, which the others don't.
Okay.
But it slightly stretches the sound using your other speakers down the walls. I mean, it's really, if a lot of two channel guys would just scoff at this and say, why would you ever want to upmix music, right? Just listen to it the way it's meant to be listened to. But if you're interested in that at all, the Oro is the way to go for that. And my opinion also, upmixing like a DTS HDMA soundtrack, you know, an older legacy codec using Oro just gives a much, I don't, play around with it and see what you think. Yeah. But to me, the dialogue lifts, the dialogue's much clearer. You get more spaciousness. It doesn't really seem like it's being simulated. That's what I use when I watch any legacy movie. I just put on Oro.
Nice. Yeah, that's. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to try that out because we've talked about it in the past, and I'm just like you're trying to get me to do it, and I was like,
fingers crossed.
Yeah,
I tried. Well, I tried to get the folks over at Sound United to toss you a bone, and I think the person that I was talking to left,
and then they went out of business. Oro 3D 5.
Oh my gosh. Well, they didn't go out of business. They declared bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy. The parent company or something like that. And then they've been bought out. Let's talk about that. That's big news. And I'm very, very excited for it. Because I replied to your tweet. I was like, I love the competition. I love what they're doing. And we need more people. And I said company pushing the envelope, right?
Yeah.
To get Dolby and DTS to stand up and like it ups their game too. And we're the benefactors of all that.
Oh, for sure. And you know, a lot of your fan base, your viewers, they probably aren't aware that Oro is used in commercial cinemas all around the United States. It's just not advertised. I forget the name. It's called Barco. It uses a different name. But it's in a lot of theaters. A lot of people go to commercial cinema and they're hearing Oro in action. But that's the commercial side. The consumer side has really struggled. It just, I mean, DTS and, you know, the 500-pound gorilla is Dolby. They've dominated the market. It's impossible for Oro to get in here. It's just not going to happen. They're going to apparently try and beef up their streaming game and try and get in that way. But they got crushed in the pandemic because, you know, a lot of their income comes from licensing their product to someone like Marantz or Denon or Yamaha is now doing it. And with supply chain issues, the amount of units getting produced went way down and their money goes down and they found themselves in a real pickle. And I guess they had to declare bankruptcy. I haven't talked to anybody over there. I've tried to hit up the person that I know in Oro to see if Wilfried Van Balen, who created Oro 3D, is still involved. My impression is that he's not, and I haven't heard back from them yet. And I've actually had some really fun communication with Wilfried over the years. He's a really cool, just a really, really cool guy. He's infectious. I mean, you would love talking to him. He gets so excited about immersive audio and he will talk to you forever about it. In fact, when I wrote an article like 3-4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago about Oro, and I did sound demos in my home theater room using some Marantz gear and SVS was involved. It was a ton of fun. And when I published that, he called me from like Belgium. Ugh. Like literally within 2 minutes of me sending, like, it's live. He was so pumped up. I was like, who is this? He's awesome. Like, it's me. It's me. Yeah. It was so great. It was such an honor, you know, just to have him check in. And he was just like, thank you so much for, you know, for what you've written. And, you know, I wasn't writing to try and please him by any stretch of the imagination, but he just, he's a really cool cat. So, hopefully, fingers crossed, he stays involved in things.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to talk to him. I love meeting people like that. It's like talking to Gary at SVS when I met him doing the happy hour.
And
I said to him, and he was funny. He told me afterwards, and he's like, I said, look, I don't sell product. That's not my podcast. Is about experiences and the people. I don't sell people, but I love to talk to people that are passionate about this stuff. And I think in turn that will help sell whatever product these people are selling, right? Like,
Yeah.
And talking to Brett Bjorkqvist, right? And meeting mm-hmm. him when he was working at Kaleidoscape, and you're just like, he's another one that him and I, we've had conversations that like, they just go and go because it's just so, he's so passionate about it. And
he is. That. Oh, yeah. When I hooked up with them for that review I wrote a few years ago, Brett and Josh Gershman over there.
Yeah.
Both of them are just like so into it.
Yeah.
And Brett was just like super pumped to get the review thing going. Like he liked the tack that I was taking living with the system. Multi-room system. It ended up being, he was all juiced about getting that going. And, he's another guy that you feel like you just want to go hang out for 2-3 hours and pick his brain and, you know.
Yeah. He knows a lot. He knows Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been in all different aspects of it. He's kind of like, I want to say like, he's the jack of all trades, master of them all.
Like, yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, he's that guy.
Where I feel like I'm the opposite. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, that's
the
way me. I feel. Absolutely. That's me. And that's why I stay in my lane. I'll just talk about the experiences. Like, you can't argue with me. This is what I experienced.
I love that approach that you have, because I also have, through my reviews, tried to go after the experience, because you can break down products using numbers. And it's funny I say this, because Base Hunters in somewhat is going after things from a breakdown approach with hard data. But it's also about the experience, as I said. You know, reference things will have some emotional impact or a way that they charge up a movie scene a certain way. But, you know, in some ways, there's websites that really go after a data-driven analysis of a product. I think it's a shame, because it is good. It's good to do that, but you can't just look at something in that way. Right. You also have to look at the experience side.
Yeah.
I would challenge a lot of those websites. Could you double blind your products and say definitively that one has these characteristics, that one doesn't? Or, you know, I just don't know if it's possible. But
to me, it's like, I always look at stuff like in movies. I have that artistic background, that artistic eye. So I lean heavily towards the experience. And that's what the tweet you put out the other day, it kind of leans to that. And it's like you said, makes you wonder what you think you're hearing versus what you could be hearing. I say this without firsthand knowledge myself, but this person is someone that knows a lot more than me. And we were talking back and forth through Twitter. Steve George was involved. Other people were involved. But we were talking about, like, you know, kind of what you're doing there. And then, kind of reality versus impression. And sometimes the impression at the end of the day is the most important part, right? Because you go to a museum and you see a piece of art on the wall. It's going to evoke some emotion in you one way or the other, either nothing and you just move on, or you're angry or you love it or something, but it strikes everybody differently. And, you know, you're doing something with Base Hunters that's like, here, for the people that love base, this is what you, and there is a market for that. But at the same time, for somebody like me, it's like, I'm going to find it fascinating that, hey, I thought Multiverse of Madness had some fantastic, I really enjoyed that opening scene. But then you're pointing out that it's not exactly what you think it is, but yet I still did experience that. And I love that. Now, then you go to a Dunkirk, I can't wait for you to do something like that. And you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, so we're going to learn especially as Base Hunters grows, and we get more and more data, we're going to learn why this scene did this for you. And then we'll also be able to look back at Multiverse of Madness and go, how come I felt that way, but it didn't have what this one had? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Also for someone such as yourself. And, you know, I heard what you and Steve were talking about where, you know, there definitely are folks who are like, I don't really care about that one demo scene. I care about the emotion, the feeling, the experience as a whole. And I, you know, I totally am that kind of person also. But That said, you're a big Doctor Strange fan. At the very least, you could use something like Base Hunters to look at and be like, wow, that's really interesting. That one scene, you know, here I thought that bass was 20 hertz,
yeah,
right? The way it was pounding away at me, that was actually 50 hertz.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of surprising when you see that, because a lot of, especially I will admit myself, I was surprised as I was kind of developing, you know, what I was going to do. And I was playing around with some movies that I really enjoy. I was totally shocked,
yeah,
at what I was seeing. Interstellar is one of them.
Oh yeah. You've already messed around with that one.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember I published a couple months ago on, yeah, Twitter, I put out that, hey, this is what the rocket launch scene in,
yeah,
Interstellar looks like. And, you know, some people came back and they were like, what the heck is this? Which I thought was funny, but it's really interesting. But
yeah, so,
like the wormhole scene, I would have paid good money. And now I'm going to say this, I'm going to be wrong because I'm misremembering, but my memory tells me that you're not getting peak frequencies that are like below 20 hertz. And I would have told you that the vast majority of the bass in that scene was below 20 hertz.
Right.
And it's just not the case. Now I'm going to have to check it.
So here's what I find interesting, though. Is it possible? Okay. So do you remember doing those tricks when you were a kid with, like, You'd stare at something on a piece of paper,
yeah,
and then look at a white piece of paper and your eyes
and blink,
balance, and you get the, so you get to see the red, white, and blue flag on the white paper, but you were looking at the,
sure,
opposite colors over here, right?
Yeah.
By the same token, we also did stuff with our eyes, like look, you walk into a dark room and your eyes haven't reset yet, so you can't really see, mm-hmm, so your black levels are insanely low, right?
Sure.
So is it possible that our ears can do the same thing? So something in a movie could send you up and you're used to hearing a higher frequency. And then when they drop down, they don't have to go to 20. They can go to 50 and you're going to feel like it's that deep because you were up so high before. You know what I mean? So dynamic range doesn't necessarily mean you have to go from the extreme top to the extreme bottom. You can actually still have a good dynamic range. And you know what I mean? And get it.
That's a really, really good question. And I don't have the answer to that. But
I think we'll get it as you get more data.
Yeah, well, yes. And also, I'm working on this, and we'll see if it can actually come to fruition or not. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some experts to chime in on specific movies here and there. It may not actually work out, but it would be... working on it. I have some ideas kicking around of how we can get some people in the industry to at least comment a little bit here and there on specific movies. But, you know, it's a long shot right now, but it's a possibility. So
that's cool. That'll be fun.
Yeah. And what you're talking, yeah, because there is definitely a rhyme and reason behind why certain things are done certain ways.
Yeah. Sound,
right?
Design. And the way they manipulate, yeah, you. They're literally manipulating,
oh, sure,
you. Right.
And for sure.
That's the fun of it. That's the experience. You know, you're sitting there ready to be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
You push play, you hit play, whatever you want to call it.
That was so funny.
I know. You said it last. What was it? Was it last week?
Hey, something like that. Freudian slip. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I think I was actually working out when I heard that. I was just like,
yeah, and you were like, I was like, what did I, now I didn't know what you were talking about. I texted you, I was like, what are we talking about? Because we were doing it on Twitter, right? And I'm like, before I put my foot in my mouth, did I say something stupid? Did I say something, like, I didn't know if I like Freudian slipped something else. And I was like,
did you go back and listen? Have you gone back and
no I heard as it? Soon as soon as you told me, like, you said push play or whatever you said, I got it when you gave me the hint.
Yeah.
And I remembered saying exactly what I said, because I did correct it right in the podcast. I went, oh,
you did.
Know, when you hit play, push play.
Yeah. Oh, you instantly, it was that moment. Like what?
Yeah.
Hip play. Yeah. Yeah. It was very,
push play.
Very amusing.
But push play, yeah, is that, what do they call that? In it's, the P and the P. What do you call that? It's, the word for it. When you have, you're the writer.
I only play one on TV. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, yeah, push play, hit play, whatever. But yeah, you're sitting there waiting to be, you know, manipulated. And that, right. That's what this is all about. And that, to me, is like, that's what's going to be fun about base hunters is how are they manipulating us?
Right, yeah, and I can't wait to dig into, you know, Jurassic World, see how that works. You know, these other, I have three other titles in line. I'm really, really, really curious to see what's going on. And to your point, and we were talking about this, or I can't remember if we were recording when we were talking about this, but like Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It's really confusing to me why a studio would go through the effort of having, you know, the sound design to evoke emotion, you know, getting in and then have a release come out that just is flat. I just don't understand how that can happen. And like I said to you, you know, the person that I talked to yesterday, trying to kind of dig around on this a little bit, said there is a rhyme and a reason. There's a purpose behind a lot of these decisions that are made. Mm. What that is, I have no idea. Now, have you listened to that on Kaleidoscape?
Yes.
And it's the same?
I felt like it was punchier. Yeah. But we get that with the Disney titles anyways on the Kaleidoscape. Everything feels punchier because
it could
you're
just
not
be
to the
that...
66 gigabytes. You're not limited to that. The discs are only 66 gigs.
I don't own Ragnarok on disc, but I would be very curious to see if I could measure differences and then compare them and see if there is a difference in the base quality.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. And seeing you are sponsored by Kaleidoscape, I'm pretty sure they would love to hear you saying that. Because, I mean, look at...
If it's provable, I mean... Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but I'm like, look, just Endgame's the best example. It's a 103 gigabyte download, but it's only a 66 gigabyte disk. So where is that coming from? And I've said it, I don't fault Disney at all. I mean, they're placating the masses. We're the ones that are looking for, you know, we're such a small percentage of the market. I barely even call us a market, but we are. Right. And it's, but we want that higher quality. And, you know, they're just putting out their 66 gigabyte discs, and 99.9% of the people don't even know the difference, don't even care. And it is a pretty good quality, too, to be fair. It is pretty good, but it could be better. But
yeah, it is. It's confusing, especially because discs are looked at as this, as almost like a time capsule, right? To get the best quality, move forward. Is that the right word? You know what I mean. Well,
physical media.
It's a media. Like, it's the medium where they can put their best foot forward.
Right.
Let's put it that way. As of right now, you know, if Kaleidoscape, I think there's a very good chance that the audio could be better. Is probably where they're beefing it up on the Kaleidoscape side.
Yeah.
When things are streamed, you're really taking a hit on the audio side, right?
Yeah.
That's where they really like to crush things down. So probably when it comes to a disc, and I'm saying this without any knowledge of what they're actually doing, I would assume it's probably the audio that's getting shrunken down, compressed.
Well, my theory is that it's like most people have 4K televisions. Not a lot of people have a setup to take advantage of that great audio. So why wouldn't you put all of your eggs or most of your eggs in the video basket? Because and then you compress the audio down even more because most people are through their 4K television or through a soundbar, and then, you know, we're the only ones that are actually pulling out the full amount of audio.
Sure.
And it's like,
For sure. Well, you have a very small segment of people that are concerned about lossless anything.
Right. And
case in point is just look at what happened with the original iPod. people were willing to sacrifice everything for convenience. And you see the same thing with streaming. Mm-hmm. And even people who stream to their phone, like my kids.
Yeah.
You know, all they have to do is walk down into our theater room and they can watch pretty much anything they want in the best possible quality that we have access to here in our house. You know, you know what I mean, though, yeah. Right? So yeah, amazing quality, but they would rather lie up in their, you know, loft bed up in their bedroom and watch on their phone with earbuds.
Right.
Right. So that's convenience trumping all. And it, you know, people, I think it goes right down to streaming. You even look at disc sales. I think, what is it, like 8% of disc sales are 4K UHD discs. So, yep. I mean, the sliver of folks that are really looking for the best of the best experience is pretty narrow. I mean, it's, there's not a lot of us.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the amount of DVDs that are sold. Not Blu-rays, DVDs. They lead the market, right?
It's like 70%. 70% of discs that are sold are DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then on any given week when those reports come out and you see them and you're like, it's like you said, 70, 25, and 5. Or 20, you know what I mean? And 23 and 7 on a big week on a 4K release, it might top, get close to 10% for 4K.
It's head scratching, especially now. Everybody has almost at least an HD TV.
Right, right. But I think what the DVD is that market right there is telling you how many people don't have access to good streaming.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, we think because we have it, but there's a lot of rural areas that don't have access to good streaming that we kind of take for granted. And that's why your Blu-ray market and your 4K market, most of those people are already streaming. And then it's a very small sliver that even cares to go above the streaming. But everybody that can't get good streaming, they're like, why, you know? They'll buy a DVD for their kids and watch those.
Are those numbers that get released, I can't remember, are they U.S. only or are they worldwide? I think they're worldwide, aren't they?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm spitball, because, again, it's baffling when you see those numbers. Like,
yeah,
I thought DVD
it's really
was
amazing.
Dead, but it's leading.
I personally just can't watch DVD anymore. It drives me nuts. I mean, streaming. Yeah. Streaming drives me crazy too, but I'll still do it if I have to. But
some DVD of the content is, that's mean, all 40. You can do. There's some, like,
yeah,
you know, have you seen The Gray Man? John and I are talking about it right when we're done here.
Oh yeah. I'm laughing because I was thinking when you and Steve George were talking how little TV I watch. I mean, in all honesty, the last thing that I watched was Ozark.
Oh wow.
And I just am not a TV show person. I watch baseball every night. I watch the O's, and it's crazy. That's where, and like my attention span for other things, TV shows, is really short. Like we watched Queen's Gambit, and my wife and I watched Ozark, and we talked about watching Ted Lasso. My brother, love my brother to death. He gave me a 4K Apple TV 4K.
Yeah.
This past Christmas, and was like, you got to watch Ted Lasso. And what, you know, it's all hooked up in my theater room rack and just doesn't get used. It's so sad. But a lot of the shows you guys were talking about, I've never even heard of.
Really?
It's crazy. Yeah.
If you're I can't recommend enough for you personally. For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
Apple TV Plus. It's a great home theater experience too. Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus has some of the best, if not the best, audio and video quality in streaming. And I think give it a shot just to look at it. Look at the opening sequence.
Is it a series or is it a... okay.
And they're in season 3 is just dropped.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's three seasons, but what I think you'll like about it is it's about the space race, okay? But it's an alternate reality where the Russians get there first.
Oh, wow.
And then, but then okay. There's some real life things that happen. Like I'll give you an example. My son didn't pick up on it, but to kind of tease you, to get you into it. So the Chappaquiddick Ted Kennedy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the show, it might even be in the first episode. Russians get to the moon first. Well, because they got to the moon, Ted Kennedy got, and it was a big to do in the country. We lost the space race. Ted Kennedy got pulled away, didn't get to go to the party. So Chappaquiddick never happened.
Oh,
and how does this, so there's alternate realities, but kind of like your destiny is your destiny.
So and this isn't a historical fiction. This is an action. This is a fictional.
It's a
account fiction. Based.
Yeah. It's an alternate reality history. Of real okay. history. So like, it's a lot of fun, but again, it also brings in from your home theater perspective. It's a great, I mean, the picture quality, the sound quality, this, I mean, there's rockets going up, they're going to space, they're doing all this. And
awesome.
I think you would get a kick out of it. I think you would have a lot of fun. I did. And it is a lot of fun. And you got 3 seasons, chip away at it.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to have a lot more free time in my hands. We're going to be empty nesters.
Oh.
And let's see that. We go away on vacation soon, and we come back, and a few days later, we drop one off at college, and then the other one up your way. So,
yeah, you're coming up. Yeah, so this is your first time as empty nesters.
Yeah,
because your youngest.
I'm not smiling because I'm happy.
It's fun.
I love my daughters to death.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The pace of our household is just crazy because of the sports and the you know, everything. It's my wife and I. We're going to miss them tremendously, of course, but
yes.
I feel like we're really limping into the finish line here. It's just, we're so tired. It's just go, 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 go. And then trying to fit everything else in plus our 2 dogs. And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, like the show you're talking about, it sounds amazing. I would love to watch it, but I think about what's happening tonight in our house and I'm just like, well, it couldn't happen tonight. Probably couldn't happen tomorrow night, you know? And then one thing after another, but I think as things free up, I will definitely be trying to dip my toes more into some of these series. We tried watching Yellowstone. Have you watched Yellowstone?
No, I haven't watched that one. That's like a Western type, right?
Yeah, it's a modern day, takes place out in Montana, and it's Kevin Costner trying to defend his land against the growing, you know, suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It was a beautiful, we made it through like 5 episodes, 6 episodes before I turned to my wife and I'm like, this show is so depressing. Nobody's happy. There was nothing happy going on. Literally, there's no character that's happy. There's alcoholics, you know, drug addicts, everybody's, you know, and I was just like, I can't spend an hour every night
getting dejected
in this world.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, not like Ozark was happy, but at least there were some light moments in that show.
It was entertaining, right? It had a little bit of dynamic to it.
Yes. It had its ups and downs. And like,
not just like, okay, you know, push play and go, boom.
Right, exactly.
My wife and I did a show like that. And we did like 2 episodes. I can't remember what the show was. But they had a great cast. It was about a family and they owned this land or something or an island and whatever it was. And they ran this, whatever, a boat. I don't remember, but I told my buddy John about it and he loved it and went through it. Exactly what you're saying. It's like after like 3 episodes, I looked at my wife and I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's just depressing. It's like Yellowstone. It's like, I'm like, I can't do, I don't have time for this. I want to be uplifted or I want to have some engagement, not just be like, wow, it's amazing.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of times with movies, I just gravitate toward comedies.
Yeah.
Because I just like the feel good, you know, kind of take you out of the reality of what's going on in the world and all the craziness that's happening around us. And, you know, I think that's also a reason why people love Marvel movies.
Yeah, the MCU, that all of that. It's like, it's outside of our reality. And it's like, look, leave your brain at the door and everything that's in it. just sit down and enjoy, you know, the sights, the sounds, and the scenes. Just have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think, like, even like I said, like, For All Mankind, it's like, it's an alternate reality, but it's a little bit more grounded. It's like realistic. Like, this is what it could have been, but it's a great home theater experience too. Yeah, I think, you know,
I'll put that on my list.
Yeah. You've already dropped a kid off at college, so you know how emotional that is, you know, freshman year, day one, dropping him off, drop my son off. Sure. And I remember that day. And then the next year we dropped my daughter off, and that was, now it's like the next step for you is when they come home and you're like, oh, where'd my freedom go?
I know,
but it'll be fun.
It's you know, the only thing I'm looking forward to is having a little bit more time.
You're not running. You were in the swim world. I was in the hockey world. My daughter was in dance. Dance and hockey, swimming. You're constantly running around. It's 20 every day is taken by, you know,
constantly
taken up. And it's
And granted, you know, I do have friends who have, you know, 1, 2, 3 kids, and they seem to always have tons of time to themselves because they, you know, they prioritize more things for themselves, and I'm much more family oriented. So, you know, like if I found out on a Friday night, just like a couple weeks ago, we had friends who were having a big get together, and all of a sudden we realized that my youngest daughter was going to be around, and we watched, Stranger Things. We just finished watching the most recent season of Stranger Things. So, you know, we watched it with her. So, you know, it was just one of those moments where I'm like, I'm going with my kid on this. And I love my friends to death, but when it comes to family and stuff, you know, family first.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I coached for years. Everything was family. My wife took my daughter to the dance stuff. I took my son to the hockey stuff. I was coaching. I didn't start. That's one of the reasons I didn't even start podcasting until I've been podcasting for almost 4 years. My kids were out of the house, 5 years ago? I got the free time. Yeah. So I think Base Hunters is really going to take off.
I hope so. Oh, well, you know, I'm working on it. My mind is turning away on that. And you know what's funny? This is a good segue. One thing that we did as a family that we all held out for to do as a family was to go see that kick-ass movie that you're wearing on your shirt there.
There you go. Yeah, Top Gun. Maverick.
We waited and waited. I actually saw it out in Denver, of all places. We were out there for my birthday.
Yeah, you went to, did you go to Red Rock?
We went, my birthday gift this year was to see Third Eye Blind at Red Rocks. Yep. And it was, I mean, I love, maybe.
Have you ever been there before?
No.
Oh.
Never. I've only seen pictures, and I love Third Eye Blind, and my oldest daughter has also become a fan over years of her just kind of hanging out with me and listening. And she was in class actually up at Boston College and texted me and said, hey, Dad, you know, Third Eye Blind's coming to Merriweather, which is a local venue here outside of D.C.
Yeah.
And I don't really love Merriweather. It's this outdoor kind of, I don't know. I've just never loved going there. And I was like, are they really? So I opened it up and I was like, wait a second. They're going to be out in Denver at Red Rocks on my birthday. Well, it's like 2 days before my birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, we got to go. All of a sudden,
everything came
together. I was having birthday celebration. Yeah. Which was a really cool thing because I grew up Air Force brat, as we've talked about. And my dad was stationed at the Air Force Academy, which is near Denver in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And
where USA Hockey
is. I said to my wife, when we go, I want to spend a day to go back and see the house that I lived in and go see my elementary school. And we did all those things. And I hadn't been back there since like 1983. So it was a total mind trip. I mean, it was just awesome. The whole 3 days we spent out there was phenomenal. And it culminated with going to Red Rocks and seeing a phenomenal concert. I mean, it was, they were great.
The picture looked great. It looked awesome.
Oh, it was just so fun. You got to get it. So you haven't been out there to see a show?
No, not to Red Rock. No, I've been out to Colorado Springs. I've been to Denver. I've been to Colorado Springs. I've been to Moab for mountain biking. But yeah, it is beautiful out there. It's a different yeah. type of the planet, different part of the planet for sure. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Denver's a fun town. We stayed in Cherry Springs, I think it was called, part of Denver. Really nice. You know, lots of restaurants were around, but there was also a theater.
Oh, nice. And that's where you saw second Top night. Gun?
Yeah. The second night we were there, we were all like, got to go see Top Gun. So I was, 3 weeks late to the party. And I was so glad.
I can't believe you waited that long. Didn't I text you right after I saw it? And I was like, what? Yeah. I thought for sure you would have been there opening night.
Well, one kid was away, you know, at like senior beach week. Yeah. And then the other kid was away visiting friends out in Michigan. And all of them were like, no, we want to see it together. We want to see it together. So I covered my ears and.
Is there really a lot of spoilers to it? I mean, it's basically Top Gun over in a very creative way. I don't want to give anything away here. Maybe after we're done, there's one of my favorites that my favorite nod is the character in the movie. I love that nod. What's her name in real life?
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
It's the best nod, the absolute most creative nod. And it's such a small piece that when I first saw it, I saw the movie with my son opening night and I didn't do it on purpose. But as soon as they said her name in the movie, I leaned over. My son's like, huh? Like, cause I just went, and he went, what? And I leaned over in my theater chair and I said the name. And then when you come home to double check it, it's exactly the scene. I reenacted the scene, you know, cause they're like, huh? And he goes, oh, okay. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. It was so great.
That's great.
And then seeing that in the theater, I've seen it twice. I want to see it again, but, come home and watch Top Gun. Top Gun doesn't age as well now because it's so pristine. This version is so good. Top Gun, now you're like, oh, that Maverick is just going to be so good at home.
It's going to be sick. I can't wait to drop. And when is it coming?
I don't know because it's still selling out in the theater. It's still doing. I know. It's like, what, ranked number 5 or something. And it's like,
all time, right? It's good.
Well, it's number 5 each week. It's like, I don't think it's dropped out of the top 5 each week for sales. So it's like, it's still selling. And I don't blame them. Keep selling. The theaters need people to go, you know? And it's like, but we're suffering because you have, Jurassic Park Dominion, Jurassic World Dominion. Let's give them that at home. Nobody's going.
I've got my pre-order. My pre-order's in. I bought that day one. That second that came out, I was like, bink.
Yep. So did I.
And Cannot wait.
Every time I get the pre-order, I text my buddy John and he goes, good thing you got it early. You don't want him to run out.
I know.
Because it is kind of
It's funny. So cool.
Like, why are we pre-ordering? But it's not going anywhere. I know. But I got that. I bought Elvis already. The Disney stuff, you don't pre-order. It just, when it comes out, there's no pre-order for Disney. When it drops, it drops. And you get it the same day. So you get it when it drops digitally. That's basically when we get it. So, okay.
Exactly.
But I don't know which one I prefer. I like getting the pre-order, but now it's like every day I check. Did it drop? Did it drop? I'm always checking.
It's not... Yeah. And there's no way for us to know when it's going to happen until they announce that digital release date. Then we'll have a good idea. It's probably going to be the same exact day.
We were speculating mid-July just because of the time frame of everything else had been going. But clearly that's come and gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be fall. I think they're going to ride that pony until its legs have fallen off in the theaters. Christmas. And they should.
They should.
It really is a movie that needs to be seen in the theater.
Yeah.
I hope they make more movies like it. You know, not more Top Guns, but more. I hope they put more effort into the cinematic experience like they did with that movie.
Yeah. I mean, the ending was so even kind of corny, but you were just so into it by then. You're just like, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is great. This is,
Well, Top Gun is definitely cheesy just by nature, right? The original was kind of just like cheesy.
Yeah. It's cheesy, but you know what I keep thinking of? Like, Anthony Edwards, right? In the original Top Gun, they kill off a main character. Can you think of another movie that's cheesy, supposed to be fun, but then they kill off a character like that? That's tough. Which I think makes
I can't think of one.
That's what makes it so great, and what makes this next one so great. It adds that level of emotion to it that you're like, it's awesome. Ah.
It's a good one. Did you listen to, maybe I sent you a link to it, or I can't remember, to the Jocko Willink podcast where he had the Top Gun instructor on?
No, I haven't. I didn't hear that.
I'll send you a link.
To me? Send it. You might have sent it to me, and then, you know, you forget these things and you move on. So send it to me again.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's a guy that is like the only pilot in the world that's certified to fly like the F-35 Raptor, I think it is, and the FA-18 and some other plane. Like, this guy's like top of the game. He was a Top Gun pilot. He was an instructor, and he also was an advisor to the making of Maverick. So he was kind of behind the scenes there checking, you know, how realistic things were and having some say in things.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. He said that, you know, in reality, they would never use the FA-18 to run a mission like that.
Yeah.
This day and age with what we have. But the reason why they chose that fighter is just because it's the only two-seater fighter left. And for the movie, they needed to have a two-seater.
Right.
They had the multiple characters, right? So that's why they used that particular plane. It's a great listen. I mean, he goes into how he became a pilot and yada yada. I think the original Top Gun actually played into this guy's becoming. Oh, really? He was a Marine pilot. That maneuver where they go up and they do that flip
To come down the mountain.
That's a real. He said that's the fastest way to go down. So
to invert and then
to invert and do that. So while you're watching the movie and you're like, I don't know if they'd actually do that. Apparently they would actually do that. Now, I don't know if they would actually design a mission like that. It seems to me like they would just do some, missiles.
Well,
laser guided.
They do say in the movie that because of some certain thing, you can't do what we would know. It's very quick at the beginning.
I missed it away
a little bit. They do their best, but who cares? I don't care. I don't care. I mean, you get that Rocky moment when, you know, Tom Cruise is going to show them that he's the best. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that.
Me too. Just when you said that, I got goosebumps. It is such a great scene.
Yeah.
He's just like flying on the deck, you know, right over the desert. I mean, it is so badass.
And the looks on people's faces, right? The class. And you're like, you know what's coming as the viewer. They don't.
I know.
And then you get, was it John Hamm? Is that the character? Uh-huh. And he's like, what's happening here? And you're sitting in the theater going, I know what's happening.
I know.
Here it comes. And you've been waiting for that moment the entire movie, right?
Yep.
I mean, we're not spoiling it for anybody. You know this. I mean, it's like seeing Rocky. Like, you know he's going to win at the end. And you know whatever's going to happen is going to happen, right?
Right.
But
right.
That is totally that. Like I said, oh, my God.
Tom Cruise, I mean, love him or hate him as a person. And I actually... Like you, I don't know him, so I can't really pass judgment in that department. But I love his movies. I've always been a Tom Cruise fan. Not like a geek out fan, but it just seems like the guy, whatever he's in, is at least pretty darn good. If
he knows
not
how to entertain, or pick his productions that'll entertain. Like, I mean, Yeah. And I remember years ago, they're like, oh, they're all cookie cutter. Well, there's a reason cookies, it's called cookie cutter. They're delicious. You know what you say?
Yeah.
Just keep stamping them out and everybody likes them. And it's like, what's the problem?
Night and Day. Night and Day is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Right? That's a movie where you're like, oh boy, Cameron Diaz, da-da-da-da. That's a really fun, entertaining popcorn flick.
Yeah. I believe that one had parts of it in Boston, or it, like his character.
Oh, yes.
Remember? It was like his, I think, his parents. But he, I love that movie. I love Night
and Day. Yeah, I think it was it. It was her...
I think it was his parents or something.
I think it was his parents.
She's the one that found out about him. She found out his parents were in Boston, and she went and saw, and they're like, we don't know what happened to him or something, right?
But
it is. It's one. I mean, obviously, you have your Mission Impossibles. You have obviously now two Top Guns. But yeah, he's just so entertaining and just
he is
just fun.
I love the fact he does his own stunts.
Yep.
You know, that new Mission Impossible movie, that was one of the trailers that we saw in the theater.
Yeah, yeah. The one coming up. And you're like, oh my God.
And I was just like, oh, yes. You know?
Yeah.
I love those movies.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with him in it just pushing the way the story is rolling out. He's a fun actor in that regard.
When you saw it, did you get to see him thank you for coming out to the theater? I thought that was such a cool touch. Too, and it especially really after cool. what everybody went through and what they went through to wait to put out Maverick, right? And it's like, hey, we're not releasing this streaming, we're not putting it into the home, we want you, we held out for you. And then for him, like, I thought that was such a cool touch for him to be like, thank you for we did this for you, which they did
1,000%.
It's awesome.
I mean, I respect a lot of things about his public behavior in that regard. You know, he came out a few years ago with that PSA about turning off motion interpolation on your TV.
Yeah, cinema. Cinema. It was him and Scorsese.
The motion smoothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He cares about how the art form is consumed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously they wanted to make a lot of money off this. I think he probably also wanted people to really experience how majestic this film can look in a proper setting.
Well, the experience. I think he's trying to provide experience. Like, you know, I know that's my podcast, but I mean, that's what he's going for. That's what these movies are supposed to be. And he kind of, his movies really lean into it.
And, they do. Yeah.
And I think that's why people gravitate towards that, you know.
Oh, 100%. Well, think about Mission Impossible. Was it number 4, Rogue Nation? Where he's on the motorcycle?
Yeah.
Chasing after, what's her name? I mean, there's no way that scene would look anywhere near as awesome if he wasn't actually on that motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, doing that. I mean, awesome stuff. And also, by the way, DJ, during the pandemic when they were filming, I believe they were out in England, and he got caught in that hot mic moment where he went off on people who weren't wearing masks.
Yeah. But
I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, he's looking out for. He's like, you know, people's families depend on this. You know, everybody has mouths to feed. You know, families at home. So, I think this whole like he's a terrible person narrative maybe isn't reality. You know, like the tabloids would have you believe.
You take a snippet of anybody, like Christian Bale, the same thing. Remember when he was doing Terminator and he loses his mind, but, and here's one of right. And, but these are passionate people, and much like anything else. And that one of the things that I find amazing to me, one of the people I find amazing is Tom Brady, because he's avoided all of that negative part of his passion. And if there's anything, you know, about people, it's like that heartbeat thing. That, like, your highs are high, your lows are low. It means, I mean, I'm a very passionate person. I have a wicked temper. So, like, as happy as I can get, that's as, and you have to control that side of it. But a Tom Cruise, he's that passionate. Christian Bale, they're that passionate about their art. There's going to be sides that you're like, you know, he's like, gets that angry. And it's like, that's, I mean, as long as it's within control. You know, that's you're going to have that side. So I don't think it's fit to your point. It's not fair to focus on just that, because look at how good, like how great his, what his passion has produced. But there is a dark side to it. There's a light and a dark to everything. And
yeah.
And that's,
you know, the thing about Tom Brady in pressure situations too, he really knows how to deflate the pressure. Sorry, I had to.
I was watching your gears turn. I'm like, what's he going to say next? I'm sitting here talking about this, and I know you're just like, I've got the comeback. I don't even know what he's saying to me. I got these headphones on. I'm not even listening to him. I just know I'm going to talk about deflating footballs. And you're like, how can I word this perfectly?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to the videotape and we'll see it in action. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're totally right about everything you said though. But yeah. So Top Gun though. I mean, Cruise drove that film. Once again, I think the supporting cast was really good.
Miles Teller. Holy crap. Did he nail it? I mean,
he nailed it.
The costume really department did. Gets a huge nod too. I mean, geez, he looked just like him.
You know?
It's scary.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Great film. I mean, I don't think I would say that it's going to be like one of my top five favorite films ever, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of those movies that I'm going to watch a lot of times. I'm going to enjoy it every time.
Oh yeah. Let me give you one that it's not a spoiler, but I'm not sure if you noticed it, but when you watch it a second time, so you know the end scene, the end battle, and Tom Cruise is still in his plane, and Miles Teller is in, you know, Rooster's still in his. And Rooster's lagging. Right. And Rooster starts saying, he's like, talk to me. And he says this line, he goes, talk to me, Dad.
Yeah.
Jump cut to Tom Cruise talking to Rooster, telling him, come on, go. And it was that moment where you're like, because that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to fulfill, you know, fill in for Goose. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it was that moment where, like, talk to me, Dad. And then they jump cut to Tom Cruise saying it. And I was just like, it was such a nice, subtle moment. Like, you know, and if you took it literal, it's like Rooster's talking to Anthony Edwards' character, to his father, talk to me. But in reality, it was Tom Cruise saying, now he's taking over. And I just loved that. Those are the little things that, like, and there's tons of that all the way through the movie.
Oh, for sure. You know what else also struck a chord with me was, you know, in The Force Awakens, when Harrison Ford has his first encounter with the Millennium Falcon again. Mm. You know, it's like old friends kind of being reunited. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's like this nostalgic moment for you as the viewer, because you relate the two together, and then you're watching them kind of reunite, right? And so it really tugs at your heartstrings. I had that same feeling when Tom Cruise came across that F-14 Tomcat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the same. They took the same concept and transferred it over to Top Gun. It's the same thing where you've got this majestic, aging fighter jet. It's iconic. I mean, you know, that was a huge reason why I loved the original Top Gun, because when my dad was in the Air Force, we were out in the Philippines, stationed in the Philippines. There was a naval base nearby, and we would go swimming out in the ocean there where the aircraft carriers were, and these F-14s are just flying all over the place.
Oh, geez. That's awesome.
And they are just such crazy planes. I mean, you've probably seen one maybe at a air show or something over the years, but they're incredible to see because they're so big and loud, you know, and I don't know. There was just something about that when they got into that little hangar and they saw it.
Yeah.
It's just like, and you know, Tom Cruise is showing his age. He's a little rusty still, you know, he wants to be in the game. So just like Harrison Ford was, right? He's knocking the rust off and just a really cool, I love, you know, especially for guys like you and I, you know, we are both like young teenagers when Top Gun came out, and it just really resonates well for us. I don't, what'd your son think of it?
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah.
He didn't get a lot of the stuff like that we get, because he just doesn't have that emotional attachment to the first movie. Mm-hmm. But he absolutely loved it. He can't wait to see it again at home. And
yeah,
it turns out it is like one of those family things. Like, you went with your family. I know a lot of people that have done that, and it's like they turn it into a family event. And it's pretty, especially coming out of the pandemic, I think it's going to go down as something pretty historical, because it
I agree 100%.
Signifying the end of it for at least movie going. You know,
To some degree. I mean, while they were showing the trailers, I was kind of taken aback, actually, that they were advertising Netflix. I think it was Netflix. A couple releases that are going straight to streaming. I was like,
In the theater?
That's interesting. Yeah.
That's funny.
But there was at least two or three trailers where I was like, oh, wow. One was Mission Impossible. I forget what the others were.
Avatar.
I was kinda like, sweet. I don't think I saw an
Oh my God. Every time I've been to the theater, I've seen the Avatar trailer for Avatar 2 coming out in December.
Maybe I just blocked it out.
Yeah.
here's a little tidbit that you might find surprising, but I've never seen the original Avatar.
Really? Well, I know they're re-releasing it. They are re-releasing it in 3D.
Okay. I own it. I own it on disc. I've never watched it.
Do you have the 3D or just the...
My projector is 3D capable, but I don't have the the glasses. So
yeah, I have the 3D. It's pretty good. I have the glasses. I have the 3D. I've watched it. It's pretty good. But obviously when that movie came out, that was the 3D on that was just groundbreaking. It was amazing. And I'm hoping he does something similar now. According to the reports, he's going with higher frame rates on Titanic and Avatar. And who knows what he's going to be doing on the new Avatars.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you seen that little Titanic clip that's going around on social media? This is what it looks like in 60 frames.
I haven't. I haven't seen it. I've heard people talking about it. I've just flipped by it. I haven't actually watched it yet. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's pretty, I saw it on Twitter and I commented that it looked like, severe frame interpolation on a really cheap TV.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw you say that.
Yeah, yeah, I was just like, no, I can't do that. But I really like the 24 frames a second look.
Did you see Gemini Man? Have you seen it?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it.
In 60?
I don't mind a little judder, and it's just, I don't know. I think it's the old fashioned side of me, I guess, which sounds weird to say, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's, I know what you mean. Kind of what I'm used to. Like the 60 because I like the idea of advancing, trying something new. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying everything has to be that way. I'm not saying go that way, but I like the idea of just like we
get
like black and white versions, or we get, different things, all of these. I like it. You're pushing the envelope and see what happens. And it's fun. It's like, watching Gemini Man in 60 frames on our projectors, that giant screen, and it's like crystal clear. It's scary.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. 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 It's definitely adds a very different flavor to the art.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to people when that came out, Rob H from AV Rant was talking about it and how actors have to act differently because of 60 frames.
Oh yeah, you had mentioned that to me before. Yeah.
And it's like, because in 24 frames,
mind blowing.
Yeah, they over enunciate and they do these things to because if you don't, it comes off as flat. But if you over enunciate at 60 frames, you come off as like, cartoonish. Like it's too much. So it's different actor. It's a different way of acting. The lighting is going to be, it's an entirely different, medium, really. It's changing it. And that's what I find fascinating. I find fun, and people are doing it different. Was it Ang Lee's the one that's done it the most so far? with Long Halftime Walker and Gemini Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then looks like Cameron's dipping his toe into it, so apparently. So we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what. He could do 60 frames till the cows come home as long as he gives me True Lies. At least on Blu-ray. At least. At the very minimum.
At least.
Just give it to us.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I saw it on... Yes, both of those.
Yeah.
But I saw True Lies on HBO HD like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if it must have been an upscanned version.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked fantastic.
It's out there. We just got to get it on disc. Ugh.
But Yeah.
Yeah,
we need it.
He
says that it's coming.
That Abyss, supposedly, that I've heard for years, that every year people are reporting, it's coming this fall, it's coming this such and such. Now that Avatar is coming out, hopefully, I heard that was one of the rumors, like he was concentrating everything into his Avatar project, which is multiple movies filming at once.
I've heard that.
Hopefully, I don't know. When it comes, we'll be all excited. And
it's yeah.
been a long time coming.
Well, I mean, even when they release a date, we'll look at Panic Room. Panic Room was supposed to come out in like January or February in HD, and it just never dropped. At least as far as I know, it never did. It's just the date came and went, and that was it. I mean, the movie house had even released information about it and everything. And I mean, where is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Lots and lots.
Yep.
Not like we're not. It's not like we're hurting for content, though, Todd.
No. No. As you know, I have a lot of content to catch up on. So.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But you have, and here's a little tip for you too. Getting back to Base Hunters, you're producing these shows, you're going to be in your theater and you're going to be analyzing these movies. You got to take a break and watch some other stuff. It's hard. It's going to get hard to do. I know when I'm breaking down movies, it's like, you're like, okay, what'd you see this week? One movie over and over. So
I'll tell you what, DJ, my plan is to, run the analysis while I'm watching and then look at the analysis afterwards. Awesome. Which, you know, I think one time you had told me that when you watch movies, you run a timer and take screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to timestamp in a similar way so I can just sit back, enjoy the movie without thinking about it.
You're doing it on Kaleidoscape, right?
Yep.
Okay. Here's how I timestamp now on Kaleidoscape. When you tap open your phone, as long as you were just in the app, it's going to have the timestamps right there. Do you know what I'm talking about? So like, see how my phone, tap it to awake? Look at my phone right now. If I tap it to awake, if I was in Kaleidoscape at the time, it will show you on the screen, it'll show you where you are in the movie. It'll have beginning.
Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
And you just screen grab that. What I do is I just I pull it up. My phone wakes up on my right next to me. No lights, no nothing. And you just screen grab
really
that moment. That's how I timestamp my movies.
Okay.
And then you'll just know as you go through, you'll have a bunch of pictures at the end and you'll see the timestamp right there.
Hmm.
It's super easy to do. I used to have to actually start and stop a stopwatch on my phone and screen grab that. Now, because of the Kaleidoscape, it's right there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
perfect. That's what I'll do then. So I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of what I went through before is going to be streamlined down.
Yep.
You know, to the point where I can watch, analyze, go back, recapture everything, talk about it, get it out. So, I mean, that's the way it's going to have to be. I can't spend 3 days on an episode.
Right.
I just don't have the time for it. So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. But what you've got going is great. I'm looking forward to
more.
I'm really looking forward to,
I appreciate it.
I'm really looking forward to your analysis of, Lost World Dominion. Because that's, it was a completely different experience for me at home, and it was because of the bass. One of the biggest reasons was the bass that I wasn't getting in the theater. So it'll be really interesting to see how how that breaks down.
I'm really looking forward to doing it, and I'm hoping I can get it done before I leave town on vacation. So,
well, family first, buddy. Man.
Yep, that's right. Got to do that. I'm heading up to New York this weekend for flat panel shootout.
Oh, nice.
So got to do that first. Hopefully I can maybe watch Jurassic World tomorrow.
Ooh.
We'll see. I'll let you know. I'll send you a text when it happens.
All right. That'll do it.
I know you're a busy man tonight. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. You got to come back for Maverick. We got to do Maverick
definitely
together. I mean, you're a big Iron Eagle fan, so we've got to get that in there.
Huge
Iron Eagle fan.
I've seen that at least 4 times since we first talked about it.
Oh, yeah, Maverick. So I can't wait for that. I'm so excited for that. So it'll be great to have you break that down.
I can't wait to see. Here's my prediction. They're going to push it long enough that the disc release is going to happen right around the holidays.
I was just thinking that too.
You know, I think they're going to try and wait, you know, it's going to be a while, but.
Or they'll do it in November on what is it? Veterans Day in November.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
It sounds like something Tom Cruise would pull too.
Yeah, it totally is.
You know, so
yeah, he's crafty in that way.
Exactly.
We'll have to see. We should get a little pool going. Little Brightside Maverick pool.
Yeah, exactly. Over under on when or who's closest.
Yep.
So, all right.
Awesome.
He's Todd Anderson. He's of AV Nirvana, but now Bass Hunters.
Bass Hunters. Which is the Bass Hunters. It's part of AV Nirvana.
AV Nirvana, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. So, I'm two already looking forward to many more. And as you go, the compiling that data is going to, I mean, we're going to have a lot. We're going to learn a lot, I think. So, thank you.
That's the hope. I hope it works out. Yeah, yep. For sure. Thanks for taking the time to give me feedback and supporting. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. All right. Thanks, Todd. And now we go back to our regularly scheduled show with John. Later, buddy.
All right, later.
And we're on the other side.
Wasn't that a great conversation?
Yep, that was awesome.
Oh, so good. I mean, he was so forthcoming with all his information. Everything was great. Oh, the magic of
podcasting.
Exactly.
Oh, what you owe me jinx? A Coke.
Yeah, owe you a Coke. Yeah, I still have the graphic up here from Star Wars A New Hope, so we can get out of that. Turn the projector off. Yep. Tokyo. Nope. Wrong one. Turn the projector off. And let's go over here to the Gray Man.
Yes, the Gray Man.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Well, before we get too far into it, I think we both have some criticisms, but I do want to say that I actually really liked the movie.
Me too.
Like, I liked the movie a lot.
Yeah.
I thought the story was really good. I thought Ryan Gosling was good, but Chris Evans stole the show.
Yeah.
As the kind of protagonist. Could have done without the mustache.
Yeah, but that played into it, though.
It did play. It really did play into the character, but...
I think, before we get to the home theater part, yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
I wrote, and I put it in italics, a cute Chris Evans villain movie.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like he's like, you know, he doesn't want to go Miley Cyrus and start wearing short shorts, but he's
right.
You know, he's trying to break. And I love Miley Cyrus. I love what she's done. I think she's a tremendous artist. And she had to do what she's been doing to get away from Hannah Montana. Right. I feel like this is like him doing.
Yeah, he's trying to get away from Captain America.
He's just so good as Captain America is such a good guy. He can do no wrong. And in this movie, it's like this guy cannot do anything right. Like he is just
He's all scorched earth, right?
Yeah, he's just like and it is kind of leave your brain at the door. I mean, it's going to destroy a city to get rid of this guy. But
yeah, it's not the
just
deepest
so much fun.
Of movies.
No.
But it was fun. Billy Bob Thornton is great. Yeah. He always is great. Again, I'm not the hugest Ryan Gosling. I mean, I guess I don't have anything against him, but he doesn't do a lot of things. So, but I mean, he was really good in this. And like I said, I had a lot of fun with it. The problem is that this movie, we should be talking about this the same way we talk about Extraction and The Old Guard.
Yes.
Because of the type of movie this is, it should have had the same kind of effects and the same kind of sound design.
Right.
But it just didn't have any punch at all.
I have some scenes that I thought were fun.
Yeah.
I have some scenes that we can get to, but what I found interesting is, like, while I'm watching this movie, and it just didn't have... I had to go back and look at other stuff, and I was like, Adam Project. That just came out recently. That was Six Underground. That was so good. The opening scene to that is, I ran out of my theater, and I came in here and sat down and recorded a six-minute podcast.
I remember that,
I was so excited. It was so good. You're like, they can do that. And then, like I said, I watch Extraction.
Yeah, Stranger Things.
And Red Notice. No, I'm thinking features.
Even movies, yeah. Yeah, Red Notice was really good.
Red Notice was really good with 4K and Atmos.
All Ryan Reynolds jams.
Yeah, well, Army of the Dead. Yeah. Army of the Dead, the 4K in that with the HL, with those neon, it was beautiful. The Atmos, I'm not even a zombie person.
Right.
I don't mean physically. I know I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a zombie
type. But yeah,
I don't like those movies.
Yeah, you don't really like those
things. I had so much fun with that. It was such a great experience in my room. And again, The Old Guard. And that's why I kind of picked The Old Guard and Extraction and, like, Adam Project. Six Underground I've seen a bunch of times because it's just so dynamic. But I was like, let me go back to these couple and see what these are. And that's why I put them in the show. But they have so much good stuff. I feel like... This is the first one. It's still fun experience. Like I said, I've got some scenes.
Like
here,
I said, I really liked it too. I liked the movie. But again, this movie had the car chases. It had the plane crashes. It had the gunfight. It had all the stuff that should have made it great. But
yeah,
it just didn't have it. You know, it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed with that part of it. And we're not alone. Like, if you read any of the reviews or the forums about this, they're all saying the same thing. Now, a lot of people didn't like the movie either. That's fine. That's your preference, whether you like the movie or not. But universally, people are complaining about the sound. So we're not definitely not alone or breaking new ground with our opinion. But
You had Colleen from Iron Fist.
Yeah.
She's in it.
Which was funny because I saw her in the credits at the beginning, so I knew she was in the movie, but then I didn't recognize her until the movie was almost over. I was
I recognized her right away.
I didn't. I was like, "Oh my god, that's her. That's Colleen." And I was I was like, "I knew she was in it, but she didn't, I don't know, she looked different to me."
Shorter hair.
Movie, so. Well,
she
for sure,
short
but
hair,
but yeah.
I didn't pick
her up right away.
I didn't read her in the credits. I'm not good with names like you are. And I knew, I'm like, that's Colleen from Iron Fist. I'm like, and that's not like me to pick a name. I'd normally be like, who the heck is I know her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grabbed that. But yeah, it's, so let me go over some scenes that I got at, they were all spoiler free. I lost the last few. I don't even have timestamps for, but I got a few timestamps here at 22 minutes, 50 seconds. A couple of characters are standing in a field, kind of like an airline. You'll know the scene, but there are bugs, like groups of, like, you know, mosquitoes or whatever, off to the right rear of your room. Super annoying, super discreet. So it was really cool. That was, I made note of that. I was like, that is awful. Cause you're like, what the heck?
Get this. Yeah. Cause but you want to start.
It felt, like, so that was kind of cool. At 27 minutes, this is an HDR scene. This is a hand-to-hand combat fight, but there was a smoke, like colored smoke bombs going off. You know the scene, right?
Yeah, I do.
It looks fantastic. It looked like such a fun way to be like, how can we make this even more fun and like and move it? It's just weird, but you wouldn't do that in a fight. But that one was really cool. And then let's just say after that, it transitions to a jumping out of an airplane type thing.
Right.
That was, I thought that experience was really good. I thought for surround sound, your room was kind of spinning. You had the, and I liked how they kind of blurred the screen too, kind of what it would feel like to jump with, you know,
if you, right.
If that was you, you know, like when you go underwater and you can't really see well, but that's what this was like. I thought that did a really good job. Really good. Really sucked you into that moment. At 40 minutes and 42 seconds, the music, it starts around and over you, but not in front, and then it just kind of moves in and out around the room. The way you'll know what you mean when you get there. I don't want to spoil anything, but that one was, I thought, was really cool. Final fight, I thought was a great. It's easy to. You don't need a timestamp for that. It's just the final battle,
kind of the end.
But
of, yeah,
the way the background was, I just thought it was a really good, really great HDR streaming. I thought the HDR in this was really good. I thought where it was lacking was the sound.
Yeah, visually it was pretty good.
Yeah. Even the mustache.
Yeah.
That was the cheesiest mustache, too.
It was so bad. So it was like you 90s know porn mustache, you
they
know?
Were and they made fun of it in the movie.
Yeah, they did.
You know?
Yeah, it was definitely a choice. Like, I don't think Chris Evans is walking around like that.
No. Not at all. I had Silverbird, the song.
Yeah.
That was a really cool use of the song and the surround effects. In the room, it just that the way you'll know it when you get to it in the movie. I thought that was really, really good. Something definitely to look forward to. And the end credits, I think are right when the movie ends and they go through all the different actors and they show scenes of the movie in pewter. The gray man, get it? So it looks, for HDR, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I didn't watch all of the credits, but I saw some of that.
So, all right. Now, I'm hoping that next week we're going to be talking about this again, much like your, you know, Neural X upmixing. After the title page ends, listen, this is really cool. Most people, like, I was so taken aback by the HDR end credit part, right? Then when that's done, usually it comes up and goes to the top corner of your screen and then tells you other things to watch. So everybody clicks out from there. Don't. And listen to this clanking sound that goes around your room during the...
I have to go back to the credits.
Yeah, go back to the credits and then listen to this clanking sound that goes around the room, kind of elevated too. And it goes clink, clink, clink. It's really cool. It starts at the front. And I believe it goes counterclockwise around your room. It's so subtle. Most people wouldn't even know it's there. Like you said, everybody flips out of this.
Oh, I was clicked out. Yeah, right before that.
And I would expect that. But I was so engaged with the, you know, pewterized scenes. Yeah. That I don't even know if pewterized is a word. But
yeah, I don't know either.
I was so engaged with that I was like, I got to check this. I was just there. And then I hadn't clicked out and it started. So I clicked on it and then the sound came up even more and I was like, oh, wow. And it fades away, but there is this ting, 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 something like that going around your room. It's really, really cool.
Oh, so I'll have to do it when we finish here because otherwise I'll forget.
Oh, of course you will. Of course you will. But other than that, I mean, there are other scenes in the movie. It's like you said, it's great to look at visually. The sights, fine. Sounds, it just felt flat. It felt like it didn't have the probably the oomph in the bass, I think, is what they really kind of needed. Because it did have some nice pans. It had some, you know, good action scenes. There were some gunshot scenes that you wouldn't even have known a gun was going off.
Right.
Right? They're like chasing each other and you're like where'd the noise go?
Yeah,
where's the pop?
But
there's no nothing.
But yeah. You know, and it was Prague, I guess, is where they filmed some of that. Okay. So it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like the scenery, like some of that stuff was really in the, like Croatia, the castle and all that stuff was really cool. Like there was some cool visuals there. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it was the sound where it was lacking.
Yeah.
A bunch.
Yeah. That's too bad.
But I wouldn't stay away from it. Like it's still worth the watch, and
it's worth the whole theater experience. There's some great stuff.
It's got some good HDR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your on Netflix, the ones that I listed, how would you rank those? Adam Project, Six Underground, Extraction, Red Notice, The Old Guard, Army of the Dead.
I think the Adam Project was number one for me.
Yeah.
But maybe that's recency bias. But I just remember really being blown away by that.
Everything.
You know, by that
picture,
movie.
Sound, everything.
Yeah.
And a great story. I loved it.
And then Six Underground, probably just for the theater experience.
Yeah.
Part of probably Six Underground. Six Underground might even be better than Adam Project.
I don't know. Adam Project had a lot.
But Adam Project
Six
was really
Underground.
Good.
Once you get past that opening scene, it's not same full engagement.
Quite, yeah.
It's like right. Adam Project kind of paced their stuff. Six Underground's got probably one of the best streaming openings of
openings.
All movies.
The opening 10 minutes, yeah, and then
Tomorrow War is pretty good too. That's
Tomorrow War is really good.
Too. Yeah, but
and then
Amazon.
Probably Old Guard and. Yeah. The rest of them just kind of fade into like fourth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say I
haven't seen them recently enough to.
Yeah, Adam probably I might put Old Guard 2, then Six Underground because I just love that story too, and I can't wait.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're doing a sequel for Old Guard 2.
They are. Yeah.
Extraction, Army of the Dead, Red Notice, and this one's coming in way. Way behind.
Way at the end.
Way behind.
Yeah.
Good movie, but yeah. Super entertaining. Funny. Good
it was. Like, it was a better movie than some. Like, I think it was a better movie than Red Notice.
Yeah.
But the sound, it wasn't sound wise. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A different type of cheese. Red Notice had some cheese to it.
Oh, it did.
This one had some cheese to it, but
it had some cheese to it.
Different
too,
kind of cheese. So you're like, eh. Yeah. But yeah. And, oh, you know what I thought
even
of?
Even Six Underground, like story-wise, it's Adam Project and Old Guard are the best of the bunch there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then and maybe Extraction was pretty good too.
Yeah, that's
but
a
the
good
other
story.
Ones are more are kind of more leave your mind at the door and just you know, enjoy the personalities of the actors more than anything, you know. So
when this is not really a spoiler too much, but a little girl gets locked in a room.
Yeah.
Is that the same room that Alyssa Milano was in Commando? As soon as they locked her in there, I was like, is that the same damn room? I'm like, it looks like the same walls and the same everything.
Yeah,
like,
could,
is she
going to
take
go,
the doorknob
seen,
off and go through the wall? I'm like, what the heck is
Commando
this?
I haven't seen Commando in 25 years, so I don't know.
But. Yeah, but you know the room I'm talking about, right?
I do. Yeah, I do.
So, yeah, I didn't.
Well, same thing. I'm watching Billy the Kid. And there's a cowboy, like there's an actor in this show that looks just like the kid from Outlaw Josie Wales, but there's 40 years difference in the movie, so it can't be the same guy.
It's
right?
Not him.
But I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, that looks just like the you know the blonde kid from Josie Wales that gets killed.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, he looks just like him.
That's
but.
Funny.
Maybe it's his dad, but I was like, Josie Wales came out in 1976 or something, right? It's like older than Star Wars, so he can't be the same guy.
Nope.
But he sure looked a lot like him.
Yeah. That's funny. Good. Yeah. Okay, that's funny. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That John, that'll do it for this week. Not a it's
yeah
short show, right? Nope.
Yeah, well, for us,
not
well,
really.
Even you and I have gone more than an hour.
Yeah,
so.
we got well, we're at an hour and plenty hour and almost hour and a half here, and but we also had a little bit of gap
gets
in there
dropped
because
in.
Yeah, because but yeah, we're going to be dropping in Steve and Todd into this, and what a show! Yeah. Look at this, John. Where the
man, all for 15 cents a month.
It's actually free.
Or 15 cents a day.
15 cents a month.
Yeah. That's not going to get us anywhere quick, right?
Yeah, no. But yeah, no. Great show. Awesome. Lots of stuff. Thanks to Steve, as always. We'll be saying that every week. Thanks to Todd for dropping by.
Thanks to Stodd and George for georging us this week.
Yeah.
Or Steve for georging us.
Oh, God. So you can tell we're just pros at this.
Yeah.
We're home theater guys. We used to be locked in a dark room by ourselves.
Exactly.
Every now and then we peek out to say hi and then screw that up. Oh, all right. That'll do it for this week. Rate, review, subscribe, support on Patreon. All of that's up, patreon.com. But I don't think we said that earlier. Patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater.
We didn't. Yeah.
We just said we love Patreon. We didn't tell anybody what to do with it.
We didn't tell anybody where to get it. Yeah. We really like Patreon. It's a great platform.
It's a great platform. So go there and support somebody.
Yeah. Support your favorite podcast.
I don't know why we're not getting any supporters. Oh, we're stupid. We have the worst promotional campaign ever.
I know.
It's so good. So fun. All right. That'll do it. We'll see everybody on Twitter. We'll see everybody where we see you. Get your comments in. Get your timestamps in. And we'll talk about all that and more next week. Until then, John, what do they got to do?
Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.